before, we're about 60 inmates ahead of our expected curve for where our population would be, and we believe that was due to the reduction in substance abuse funding and the increase in revocations as a result of their not having their substance abuse needs met while in prison. We currently also have 30 or 31 inmates in jails waiting to come to prison. So to get bed space relief, we've identified a group of about 20 general population inmates that will be moving to Lincoln County for the next 6 months. Those are inmates in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 year sentences, somewhere in that neighborhood, who aren't involved in actively involved in programming at this time, but are low risk in terms of their behavior. Those in state jail beds will give us population flexibility, but they do not give us any relief in terms of staffing. As I explained in my November 30th letter to the JAC, staff savings will only occur if we're able to close down an entire pod or pods. The smallest size housing units at WSP are our high custody restricted or segregation inmates. Those are also the housing units that require the most intensive level of staffing. Those inmates are not ones who can be housed on a recurring or permanent basis or even long-term basis or contract basis for an extended period at county jail. We think it will take between 1.1 and 1.5 million a year to place those inmates into suitable housing to get the staff savings that we believe we'll need. When that figure is combined with the cost of jail placements, which we expect to be about $500,000 a year, it exceeds the $1 million we have allocated in our budget for out-of-facility placements. So, again, I apologize for the misstatement. The budget footnote carryover of $2 million could certainly be used to reduce the governor's requested request for ongoing funding for mitigation, water mitigation and repair at WSP, and our use of out-of-facility placements first into county jails and then into out-of-state housing for the high custody inmates could be absorbed within our budget, assuming Section 308 or Section 335 authorization is continued. With that, I would stand for questions.
Questions?
Mr. Co-Chair. So the Section 308 is kind of the super flex. That's correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
And my understanding is that the governor authorized a pay increase. It was implemented at the end of October. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, effective October 1, but implemented at the end of October.
Have you seen any signs of additional recruits? And my other understanding was that you had a graduating class in Douglas that helped out to some degree. In November, I think it was, but I forget what it was. So just update us on that, on both of those.
Mr. Chairman, again, in my November 30th letter, I kind of outlined where we were at. As far as the impacts, it's still early in the process as far as how those pay raises have affected. But previously, out of every 100 applications we got, we had like, I think, somewhere between 1 and 4 that actually ended up getting hired. That number's increased to around 8 to 11 now. So we think that it's having an impact on recruitment. In terms of retention, we've slightly reduced the number leaving. But, again, it's at the beginning of the process, so we don't know long-term what effect that will have. I also mentioned that about 25% of our staffing is coming from other facilities at the current time, particularly at WSP and the Women's Center. So with inclement weather, their ability to travel to and from the Penn to supplement staffing at the Penn is increasingly difficult. So that puts us in a position of having to temporarily curtail operations or go into modified lockdown mode, particularly during the nighttime hours of 10 at night to 4 in the morning or thereabouts. We've shifted our staff to allow for maximum staffing during daylight hours when inmates are moving, and to cover those nighttime hours when they're locked down, and we could potentially further lockdown because we have some nighttime crews that work cleaning, kitchen duty, that kind of thing. When we're low on staffing, we curtail those operations. So we've been able to continue to not only operate the facility, both daytime and nighttime, but to staff all of the construction demands that we have going on, which is costing us, and Mr. Shannon could remind me how many security staff, how many maintenance staff, I believe it's averaging 8 per day. So that, again, pulls the staffing for the inmate population down. So inmates have been very patient so far, but we're concerned that if we continue to restrict their movement and restrict their opportunities to go to work and do those kind of things, that ultimately they'll end up getting upset and cause us some problems. So that's the reason why we're looking at, can we consolidate our population to absorb the 30 or 31 inmates that are waiting to come to prison? We can do that through in-state placements of low-risk general population inmates. And then how can we affect staffing so that we can so we're less likely to have to curtail operations at any point in the day. And by doing that, that's where we look at displacing high custody inmates out of state. And again, although that number could be as low as 28, it could ultimately be as high as 70. We just don't know. We're working right now to see what placements we can get, what the costs are, and get our best bang for the buck in order to ensure good, safe operations at WSP while we maintain the flow and speed of construction-related activities.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, could you just bring us an update on the construction activities? The last report we received is they found two more sewer lines broken, which have since then been corrected. Are things on schedule? How are things proceeding? And any new surprises?
Mr. Chairman, there hasn't been any new surprises. There have been additional challenges around boiler operations that you've been informed about before. I believe that all of the separated sewer lines have been identified and repaired at this point. We're continuing, as weather permits, with the pouring of concrete, et cetera. There is a storm moving in this weekend that could, again, affect those operations. Mr. McComey could certainly probably give a better update than I could on that progress, or Mr. Shannon.
And then, Mr. Co-Chair, when is the electrical going to be completed for the new power unit?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, we did find a couple surprises recently. We uncovered two manhole covers. There were in intersections that we were unaware of. They were buried 6 inches deep.
And I'm sorry. Could you move the mic closer?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chairman, my name is Dan Shannon. We, in reference to your questions regarding surprises, we recently uncovered some manholes that were not on our as-built drawings that we were unaware of. And speaking with the warden at the penitentiary this morning, we lost heat in our G&H unit that's directly related to the boiler in our south unit. We believe that we can get it fixed by this afternoon, more especially with the pending storm. And we'll make the necessary adjustments to ensure that we have safe living conditions.
So that is
surprises.
That's an ongoing issue with – is it a new boiler or the same boiler?
No, I was just informed of that this morning. The boiler is operative in the south unit. We don't know what the issue is right now. I'm just reporting there's no heat in G&H right now. When you asked about the surprises.
In G&H.
Yeah, I learned that this morning at 6 a.m. Concerning the electrical, my understanding, when Mr. Director McComey may be able to go further with it, we're about 2 months out as far as the overhead for the F electrical to come up over the roofing and things of that nature.
So we're about a month and a half behind in that now, because that was supposed to go all in by the end of January, is my understanding. So, yeah, could you please provide us an update on the heat on G&H as it happens? I mean, the select committee or that group, please.
Mr.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I know this isn't really a budget item, but I still want an understanding of why and how, and you can do this later to me in an email, why and how we didn't run the RO system to protect our boilers and now we have failed boilers. So if you can just give me a little memo later on what happened there. And
Mr. Chairman, if I might, there was not an RO system put in ever at WSP. It would be incorporated, I believe, into the I think the design actually doesn't include it either, but it includes on-spot softeners, I believe.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. Director Lambert, that conflicts with the discussion we had at the prison. And when I specifically asked, when they were showing us the calcification on the boiler tubes and stuff like that, I says, well, why wouldn't you have an RO unit in front of this? Or what? And they says, well, there was, but it wasn't used. And they at that time, they could not explain that to me. So I'm hearing now you saying that there never was an RO unit.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Larson, my understanding is at WSP there was not one. There is one, or has been one, at WMCI that was taken offline.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If you would include me in on that email, because this was at the penitentiary, and when we had that discussion, and it certainly is, and in fairness, you know, if you could just clarify that and include me in that conversation, because that is certainly leads, I was certainly left to believe otherwise, okay?
Will do, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Director, just to be clear, the $2 million we've discussed was to be available for maintenance repairs of the structure if it did not revert. So what you're saying is you believe that the $2 million will revert, and that's available to add into the repairs at the Penn.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the budget footnote was that it would not, $2 million would not revert and would remain available for repairs at WSP. And I mixed that up with the Section 335 language, which said it could be used either for repair or for out-of-state placement. So the $2 million, my understanding is that will carry over and could and should be applied to the governor's request.
Okay, thank you. That just clears up. And I understand the mix-up, Director.
So just to clarify that again, if it applies to the governor's request, the governor is requesting 1.5, so you have two that is part of the 1.5, or is it or 5.1, or is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, my belief is, and this is just from my perspective, I'm not the state construction folks who put together the numbers for the governor of 5.1, but my understanding would be that $2.2 million could, and in my perception, should be used to offset that total of 5.1.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, you noted we're 98% capacity, so you said you're going to use the Justice Center now over in Lincoln County for 20 beds. Is that a go? Are we good to go on that?
Mr. Chairman, we're finalizing with them, assuming that they are willing to take inmates that are over 15 years remaining on their sentence, that are low risk but lengthy sentences. We should be good to go.
Mr. Chairman, be happy to nudge them for you.
Lincoln County or the prisoners?
And okay. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Shannon just told me that, of course, Lincoln County is expected to continue movement towards PREA compliance, which is our requirement for contracting.
So, Mr. Chairman, so we're essentially good to go is what I'm understanding then, right?
As long as Lincoln County is good to go, we're good to go.
Thank you.
What section was that, the $15 million contingency fund?
Mr. Chairman, that was Section 335.
That was 335. Does that revert or does that not revert?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that's a one-time allocation, and unless it's renewed, it would revert. And it came out of reserve account. I'd have to defer to.
So we don't have another $15 million profile in case of a failure for this biennium, do we?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We're putting all our eggs in the good director's basket to make sure that that place keeps operating.
Would it be prudent to earmark $15 million put aside just in case? Just in case you have a like you just woke up this morning to no heat in two of the sections, you could just as easily wake up to no heat in the entire facility.
Mr. Chairman, if you'll recall, during my budget testimony, there was a page in the budget that wasn't meant to be there that talked about Section 335, the $15 million reserve, and it was an accident that it got left in, but I took advantage of that to say that it would certainly be comforting to know that there was a reserve, and that amount of $15 million was from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account and was to be transferred to the state auditor to be expended only in those circumstances. So my understanding was that would go back from the state auditor to the coffers at the end of the biennium unless it's, again, authorized. And it also any expenditure requires governor's approval from that stabilization.
Right, under the same conditions.
Correct.
But as near as I can gather, we're still having problems with the boilers, and the electrical systems to the new unit are not complete and won't be for at least a couple of months. And that's if all goes well.
Correct. The planned activities as far as water mitigation, et cetera, are all funded. But the unexpected things like the boilers and those kind of things are and again.
Or if WJE is wrong and there is a substantial ground shift.
That too, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Director, thanks for the information this morning. Lacking that contingency fund of $15 million being renewed or put back in place, I'm just curious what sort of contingency options we do have. The governor does have some ability to give you some help. Is that correct? And then I would assume construction has some emergency funding.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, in the order of accessibility, first of all, within our own budget, we have our flex authority authorized under Section 308, which, again, expires unless renewed, to move money within our budget to address those issues. So we could use vacancy savings, 100 series money, to address repair or other issues. If that's discontinued, that takes that off, and it falls to the governor's authorization to shift dollars within agency budgets. So he would have the authority, and I don't remember, it's like up to 10% or some percentage to shift within the budget. If that wasn't available or was exhausted, then it would potentially, the capital construction contingency money, emergency reserve may be available for some of that as well. But again, that's for all state agencies, so we would be in the mix with everybody else. So ultimately, if none of those systems was in place and there wasn't a fallback, I would be in a position to come and request emergency funding.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Thanks
Chairman.
Thanks for the update. We appreciate it. Good luck.
Good. All right. Mr. Co-Chair, where were we going to go from here?
I think the next was Gov's letters.
Gov's letters, that's right.
And we've done some, so Don can kind of
I think we had
up.
Two left.
Storm supposed to get it.
Don, if I recall, the two governor's letters we had left was the request for $5 million for the penitentiary and the community colleges. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Governor's letter number 4 and 7.
All right, let's deal with number 4 first. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend Governor's letter number 4 and move the request to the CapCon bill. And if I can get a second, I will.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
And I will explain the entire move, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a good place to do it. Thank you. So to further, now that it's in there, and staff is familiar with this amendment, but conceptually what I wish to do is to affirmatively revert the previous 13.5 million from the last budget that was set aside for another project out of the Torrington project, out of the penitentiary permanent land fund, to affirmatively revert that and put it back in the fund. We have to do that to have the money available. There's
back 13, in the CapCon fund.
No, back in the permanent land fund.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then from the permanent land fund, I would like to take
the prison permanent land fund. Yes.
Excuse me. From that, take $13,184,125 for the continuing work to finish the WJE recommended work at the penitentiary, plus the $2 million that was in a previous footnote assigned to that. That adds up to the $5 million requested by the governor.
I think you misstate that a little bit. Okay. So you're taking the 13.5 and putting it back
into the penitentiary permanent land fund.
And then you're taking the gov's request as 5.1 less the reversion.
Correct.
So it's it's a transfer of 3. Whatever that number is out of the prison permanent land fund.
Correct.
For the benefit of the capital construction ongoing for 1920.
At the Wyoming State Penitentiary.
Yeah, you said 13 instead of 3.
Oh, so. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
How much in that permanent?
Okay. So right now that would leave approximately $12.5 million, give or take a little bit. Mr. Chairman, I would further recommend in the amendment that we make $5 million contingently available out of that fund on recommendation of this committee to the governor and approval of the governor for any remaining emergency repairs or operations
through the biennium
at the Penn.
And give the governor flex authority or spending authority on that?
With us. Through JAC.
It has to come through JAC, correct, Mr. Chairman. And then we would recommend to the governor spending that money. So
it's a two-step process.
Yes. So that's kind of a very broad and complex amendment, but I think staff, I've worked with them, they will put the wording together. And if I can get a second.
It's been seconded.
Oh, okay.
And further discussion? Any questions about it?
I'd like to hear Dawn or Don repeat it back to us to make sure that, A, that it's what Representative Burkhardt has in mind, and B, so I know that I understand it.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my understanding of the motion is to reduce or revert, deappropriate $13.5 million from the 2016 capital construction bill, which was appropriated for expansion of the medium security correctional facility in Torrington. Once those funds have been deappropriated, appropriate $3,184,125 from the penitentiary permanent land fund for purposes of major maintenance as described in Governor's letter number 4. Next item is to reduce the general fund request for $5,184,125 in Governor's letter number 4. And then finally, appropriate conditional upon recommendation by the Joint Appropriations Committee and approval by the governor of up to $5 million from the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund for purposes of emergencies, construction, or movement of prisoners from the Wyoming State Penitentiary in Rawlins.
I was with you right up to the last part there, the movement of prisoners. My understanding is that the movement of prisoners would be $15
million. Mr. Chairman, if I might, we, in the last budget, we made $15 million contingent on some other things, and it was out of the LSRA. And it had to do with the potential for a catastrophic failure at the Wyoming Penitentiary. We've put a lot of effort, time, money into repairing the problems at the penitentiary, and I think we've alleviated the need or the potential for a catastrophic failure. So that $15 million that came out of the LSRA is no longer needed. However, there may come up unexpected things in this biennium that we may need to address either at the Wyoming Penitentiary or the other facilities, and this gives a little bit of leeway to address those, and it comes from a fund that's been there since statehood that is intended for these kind of things.
All right. Senator Landon.
I'm going to support the motion. I appreciate the representative bringing it because I do think we've got to have some contingency, and I applaud the effort. The only caution in the back of my mind is we're probably going to need some funds for that Torrington prison, for the medium security prison, and that money was sitting there and ready to go to build on the addition that we're going to probably need really soon. So if we take that money away, we just have to know going forward that it's not there anymore. And it sure sounded like this morning that the director reiterated to us that we've got some real problems looming on the horizon here.
Mr. Chairman, if I could address that, please.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in actual appropriations out of that account, that will leave approximately $12.4 million in there based on the latest figures I have, just from appropriations. The $5 million is contingent on the approval of this committee. That leaves, there's still $12.4 million in there that would be available for any of the other facilities should something come up and we could make access to it, get access to it at the supplemental budget in a year.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So, Representative, maybe you can answer this for me. Have we done level one studies? Are we ready to go? At what stage are we sitting in terms of an addition over
in Torrington?
In Torrington.
My understanding is it's shelled out.
It's shelled out.
It would take about $13 million to build in. The structure is actually there.
Okay, so
we were going to go ahead and do it until this thing came up with the penitentiary. And my understanding is also that once things with the penitentiary settle down, then the intent is to go in and build out or build in that, fill in that shell
and
to provide the additional space.
I appreciate that reminder. Thanks.
One of the reasons we haven't built it out, because as soon as we do it, it's an additional
$6 million a year in
operating. $6 million a year in just in operating costs. We don't want to do it until we have to do it.
No, I'm aware of that, and I appreciate it. I just wanted to remind ourselves where we stand over there in Torrington, and I thought as much, so thank you.
Mr. Chairman, also, I think we need to remember that once we finish the repairs on the structure and complete the WJE study, that building will have another 20 to 25 year life. It's in effect rebuilding the building in a certain way. And so we can move on to some of the needs at the other facilities. This was the most critical need. And we will still have money aside to do that.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion?
Question
being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair. I have another motion. Currently in statute is a bill run by the good speaker, which basically takes, I think it's one half of the SIPA, and funds a fund for the, House Bill
Draft
343. And it's in law now, though, isn't it?
The other part is.
And so I would move that in the Section 300s, I think is the appropriate place, Don,
to doing notwithstanding, so that only $10 million goes out during the biennium. So it would be $10 million a year, $10 million plus $10 million, and this is the account building up to replace the current state prison.
All right. I didn't know where you're going.
Is that we're putting a considerable amount of time and effort and dollars into the Wyoming State Penitentiary under the presumption that that should last at least 15 and hopefully 25 years. And so the build-out of the fund for the new state to replace the state prison doesn't need $42 million a year. I think at $10 a biennium, $10 million a year, so 20 a biennium, over the course of 10 years, we'll have well over $200 million in that fund. And 25 years, it'll have $300-plus million in it. And I think that's more than sufficient. So that's the motion.
Is there a second? Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could I hear the motion? I just wasn't quite sure where the money's coming from.
We're taking money away from the $42 million that would otherwise have gone into this account and reducing that amount to $10 million per year.
All right. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, a question I think the amendment needs a second. Or
it was seconded.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
15 or 10 a biennium. Did I do it right?
Yeah. Okay. Just a question. Do we want to put a time frame on that? Because we need to keep it for a certain length of time and let it build interest. Do we want to put a time frame on your motion?
Well,
because it'll only be good for this.
It's only good for the biennium, so we'll have to do it again.
Notwithstanding
and the
bill.
And there is, by the way, a bill.
Bill, yes.
To come in and modify the statute.
The idea is for the money to carry over.
Yes.
And accumulate.
Mr. Chairman, this would be in the 1920
correct.
SIPA. Is that right?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Don, did I address it right? Does it make sense?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we understand. Just for drafting purposes, we actually won't notwithstand it. We'll just cap it at $10 million.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll notwithstand it?
We will notwithstand it.
Never heard that used as a verb before.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Landon.
Just a quick comment on the motion. Having carried that bill on the Senate side last year, what we're doing with this motion that I seconded is not ignoring the fact that we need help to our correction system as we go along. We're just slowing down how much we're putting away for, knowing that all the work we've done in Rollins hopefully is going to pay off and that building will last a while longer. So we're just slowing down the savings. That's all we're doing.
And, Mr. Co-Chair, at the end of the day also, if we have to use it for Torrington, if we have to use it for a catastrophic event, we have funds. And so it creates a safety net all the way around.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Any other motions on the governor's letter, number 4? Other than a scowl from Representative Schwartz. Okay. Governor's letter number 7.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarity, you might want to adopt Governor's letter number 4 as amended.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll accept the motion to accept Governor's letter number 4 amended. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We have accepted the governor's letter number 4. Governor's letter number 7.
Move the letter.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to.
Moved and seconded. Any amendments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to offer some amendments.
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On project number 1. I would like to reduce the amount from $7.75 million to $6 million. I would like to further change the project from a visual arts facility to an agriculture and equine resource center as described as their priority number one in their master plan. And that would be for level three and construction on that. I would like to add a footnote to that, requiring that matching funding be required to that amount, and that the ranch purchased in 2014 would be allowed to be used for part of that matching funding up to the extent of whatever it was purchased for, so long as it's the construction takes place on that property. And I talked with our staff to make sure that we get the language right. On
combine them or do them all once?
Is there no? We'll do combine this and.
That's all for project
this is
one.
All one amendment.
That's all one amendment on project one.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Representative Larson.
So, this amendment
This amendment that Representative Walden is working on, will we have to approve it project by project, or do we do it all as one?
You can do it all at once unless somebody wants to divide the amendment.
How are we?
Carry on.
Preference of the bringer.
Yeah. I'll just keep going then. And
there's more to this one amendment, or?
Well, I'm going to amend all of the projects on the list.
Oh, we should do those one at a time.
Okay, then that's the end of my amendment for project number one.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on this? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Senator Landon.
Just a point of order. Can we come back to these individual projects with amendments after we find out what the representative is doing with the entire list? Or do we have to identify amendments or considerations on the first project right now?
No, we can always come back.
Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Project number two, fund the level two planning at full funding.
Second.
Which one's that?
Sheridan.
Sure.
All, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman. Sorry. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make the committee aware that there is $7,700 included in this line item for the admin costs at construction management. And was that your intention to, funding of the project, to include those as well?
I would move to a friendly amendment to take out the admin cost for construction management.
Agreed.
All right. Any other discussion? That's a friendly amendment, so that's part of the motion. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, on project number three, I would approve, request that we go forward with the 7 million level three construction, as commented by the governor, that it be matched with local and private sources.
Okay, actually, if there's no change, I don't think we need a motion.
Except that we...
this is L-triples.
Does this one need to be removed, the admin fees as well?
Mr. Chairman.
And did you want to match on this?
Yeah, it's match is required.
Is match already required in the letter?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Did you want to remove any admin fees?
Yes.
Is that your motion?
Remove the admin fees.
How much is that?
Mr. Chairman, the $7 million on this line item does not include the admin and contingency fees, which are part of a separate line here, but they do total $1,680,000. And was it my understanding you'd like to include those with the seven or not?
Out.
So it's just.
Yeah, it's a combined motion.
Mr. Chairman, we understand it is just the $7 million that is not inclusive of contingency or admin.
Okay, so it's going through unscathed. Okay, any change in number four?
Mr. Chairman, four and five, if we can combine them, I would cut both of. I would like to reduce both of those values by 50%, so they'd be in half of what their current value is.
In other words, require matching for them. Or self-funding for the other half.
All right.
Mr. Chairman,
any further discussion? Question being called?
No.
Nope. Well, Don.
Oh, I thought you were calling the question.
No. I have a question.
Let's go to Don first.
Mr. Chairman, I'm so sorry. Just to clarify, now these two do have admin costs included, and would your motion be to include them or not?
Not include.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So you're slashing them more than 50%. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my question to the on the amendment, excuse me, is, and it may have missed me, requiring that they match half, or could they come back and request the other half further down the road?
We're only funding them at the value that I stated. How they come up with the other, or if they need the remaining, is on their shoulders, I guess.
So it has to be a match.
I would guess it's going to have to be a match, or they're going to have to do it for less money.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Do we have a revised total?
Mr. Chairman, a lot is going on here. You have voted on number one. You voted on number two. You have not voted on number three. You have not voted on four and five. What total would you like?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Presuming we do this all, what would our total be?
No, there were no changes on three.
Yeah, so we voted on.
There were no admin charges, so there were no. There was.
We'll vote on all of it as a number.
Mr. Chairman, better lucky than good. $15,475,000. Mr. Chairman, $15,475,000.
Okay, we're back on the motion for items four and five, and the motion is to cut the funding in half, plus, in addition, also reduce the admin or get rid of the admin cost. Any further discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Anything else on this letter?
Don't we have
Senator Landon?
Did I understand correctly from Don that we had not taken a vote on number three?
Well, that would be part of the entire letter, and nobody has suggested any changes to three.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'll allow the representative to continue if he's got more going there.
There's one more.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
Just a clarification before I offer this amendment. Ms. Williams, the $3.54 million stated on the bottom of the governor's letter, by removing the admin and contingency fees on each project, we have eliminated that dollar value. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
So we don't need to take action on...
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Don when they kind of free up here. So do we have to make a motion to continue a separate motion here to continue the 571-200 for Western Wyoming?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Or if that's part of the letter, just like item number three is part of the letter.
So just
we're going to be voting on the entire letter
as amended.
As amended. So if you want to keep that on, you don't do anything with.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I am going to make a motion for an additional $500,000 in contingency, in case there's a catastrophic failure on that.
For where? That Western facility, Wyoming.
For Western Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman.
Don.
We were talking.
Let them address.
All right.
So, Mr. Chairman, my reasoning is
There is seconded. Okay.
Yeah, there was a second, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And I guess my reason is I do worry about if there's a catastrophic failure there, and that's kind of the one in my local area, and I think it would be a real detriment. So maybe we have that money somewhere else, but I would just like – and then it would revert if they don't use it. We could have it contingent upon, you know, whose approval. I would open that up for the committee. You know, the approval of who is a question.
So if I understand your motion, in addition to the 571,200 – $571,200, which will be spent, you want another $500,000 left in reserve with, I guess, the
State Construction Department
in case of a catastrophic failure.
Mr. Chairman, the way I read, and maybe I'm wrong, but the 571 is it level two or level three?
Level two.
It's level two planning, and it says for mechanical repair and replacement work as well, but I'm just worried if we have some big problem there. So
Mr. Chairman, clarification?
Senator Dockstader.
So this is just for the biennium contingent on construction department's approval?
Right.
Okay.
So once they're done with plan, if there has not been a catastrophic failure and the phase two planning, level two planning has gone through, then we will address level three at the supplemental or whatever.
Right.
Mr. Co-Chair. So I just have a question for Dell and the status of this level two, the likelihood of a catastrophic failure, and if we don't do the 500,000, what happens and where are we at? And what is the real risk potential?
Mr. Chairman, you know, it's hard to define the true risk if you don't know what the failure is. And, you know, they have a couple of different issues. They have some electrical issues that need to be repaired as part of that. It's a big package. And then they have the water system to be repaired. So you could have a significant failure in either or of those. The fallback would be that you know, they have some funding in their major maintenance dollars. The state then has some, the department holds some money for emergencies for major maintenance. So there's some money there that would be available. Depending on the size of that, I don't know whether that would cover, you know, a catastrophic failure. I don't know whether that would be able to cover that without then dipping into the regular major maintenance funds that agencies have and have programmed towards projects. So you may have to cancel some projects to move forward, you know, to do, depending on the size of a catastrophic failure. So I think the $500,000 is probably wise on top of the money that we would have available. If we don't use it, we don't use it. My expectation is, and I think the committee noted that just a second ago, is that we would finish this level two this year, and then if needed, come back per the governor's recommendation for some additional funding next year if required.
And Dell, it looks like even preliminarily that's going to be an $8 million ask.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe so from the governor's perspective. That normally what happens for community colleges is that they will go out and seek bond or they'll go into their reserves. So I think the governor's thought is that that happened first, and then the state take a look at what may be needed. The other thing is that we don't foresee timing-wise to do all this work so that they can keep the community college up and running, that we're going to do the $8 to $14 million fix in any one year. So it's going to have to be staged, and that would be part of the recommendation through the Level 2 funding. So in any one year, any one biennium, we wouldn't be asking for that large amount.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Mr. Chairman. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to further amend item number one. Very supportive of what the representative is doing in his neck of the woods But given the fact that that number one priority is a different facility than that, I'd like to move that we bring that total back to what it was with a $1.75 million opportunity for match for that visual arts facility above the $6 million that we have identified to go the other way. So $1.75 million that can be matched, that would allow that college up there to begin a matching opportunity on a on that visual arts number one priority building.
So so $6 million go into the Ag and Equine to be matched, plus another $1.75 million to go toward the visual arts facility to be matched.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
So my notes, Mr. Chairman, say here that they, as they approach us with that $7.75 million, those funds were already matched. Is that correct?
They were to be matched.
They had to be matched.
Yes.
Okay. But do you know if any of that match has that process started?
Mr. Chairman, I do not know that. I would assume there's still work to be done on that front. That would just allow for some matching funds so that they could get started on that number one priority project. On their master plan is the other project, but the one in front of us here is the visual arts, and that just allows them to get started.
If I may, so I heard Representative Walter say that the Ag Equine was the number one priority on their master plan list, and then I heard you also refer to this visual arts as a number one priority.
Mr. Chairman, we learned this month that this would be the list that was contained in the governor's letter, and the community colleges came forth with this priority list, and that's where the visual arts building appeared. Is the number one priority of the Community College Commission list. So therefore the reference to the number one priority. The other number one priority that was referenced by the representative is the Ag Equine facility, which is number one on their strategic plan.
So how many number ones does Casper College have?
Well, several number ones, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
What a place. What a place.
So, you know, my only main issue with the motion is that you're going to have competing interests on those fundraising dollars or on the matching funds, and so it seems to me that one of them ought to be prioritized over the other, or you're going to have two matching folks out there. That's my only concern. Yeah.
Any other discussion on the motion? My question is on the match. Does the entire amount have to be matched before it's released? Or is this just a building thing, one for one, as you build up? Is there any minimum?
I think, Mr. Chairman, that's a good question. I think in the past, and I would defer to Don on this, I think we've required all of that to be matched before it can be targeted. But can you help me with that, Don? I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, it used to be as you go, and the more recent practice is only upon complete match.
Okay.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, I would make an amendment to that motion that the Equine Center has to be fully matched before any funds will be released for the visual arts.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Mr. Chairman, I don't support that motion, and the reason is it's a different constituency. Why would you hold up people that want to support visual arts until this other one gets done? I don't think that's a right way of looking at it.
Well, I think we're establishing the priority here, and that's why we put the new priority in there, and that priority ought to be first. They're using state dollars, and I think we can have influence on what gets matched first. So I'm supporting the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, whatever your name is, Doc Center.
I would agree with the co-chair. This is it's an opportunity to establish ag, the importance of ag, and so I would support that motion.
Any other discussion? This is on the amendment that the matched the ag and equine center has to meet its full match of $6 million before any match can be given for the visual arts center. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. No. Apparently passes. All right.
Now on the motion.
Now to the original motion itself for the $1.75 million. Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Move the letter. As amended.
Move the letter as amended. Don.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarity, I think it would be useful. Under the expectation that items that you have not acted upon are adopted, I think you should remove the note at the bottom for the full $3.5 million in matching. The reason being is not all of those have been acted upon. So, for example, LCCC has a portion of that.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That now passes.
Anything else on that, Dominic?
We're back on the letter. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could just be reminded, after all of that, the end of the letter identifies general funds. Is that where we ended up, or are we on SIPA, or where did we end up taking the money from?
SIPA.
Mr. Chairman, the letter, which you'll be voting on, takes it from general funds. He's revising his Gov's Rec.
If we're going to change it, we should change it now.
Let's go back.
Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, that's right. The last paragraph, he switched it from SIPA to general funds.
So, Don, what we're going to want to do, I think, is at the end of the day, after we have a balancing of accounts, that have the opportunity to decide exactly where goes what. So, I would move that we leave it in the general funds now, but let's, if you will bring this back up before we close out the day, so that we can make sure we can see what's in SIPA, we can see what's in the general fund. I think that will give us more time as we move process through the day.
Okay, no action. We're back on the governor's letter as amended. All those in favor signify by saying, wait a minute, do we need a roll call vote on this? Or all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Don, what do we do next?
Mr. Chairman, in recent history, last 10 years or so, the tradition has been to move through round robin by agency number, perhaps in groups of 10 agencies. We do have a list of member inquiries that individuals have asked us to raise. We will do so at your direction.
All right.
Let's take a short break.
All right. Let's take a short break. We're calling the meeting back to order. The next item on our agenda is round robin, and we will do this by agency. And I'm going to take the agencies by roughly 10 at a time. So as I go through the agencies, I'll list off the agencies, and at the end of the list, if you have something you want to amend into the budget, just call on it. So the first 10 agencies are Governor's Office, Secretary of State, State Auditor, State Treasurer, ANI, Wyoming Military Department, Public Defender's Office, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, and Agriculture Department.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hastert.
Agency 1.
I'm sorry?
I make a motion we open Agency 1, Governor's Office.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. The governor's office is open.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go to page 55. Is the narrative, and then page 57 shows the budget outline. But we took on disaster contingency fund, we reduced that amount from 500 to 250, and I'd like to bring it back to the 500,000. Make a motion for that.
Was that a second? Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
John, why'd you say that in the first
place? It passes, actually. There's 11 here.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct. Six passes. If you could just give us 30 seconds to discuss the motion.
I forgot we had 11.
So just for clarification, with Senator Driscoll's absence, do we go by? Is that considered a no vote? Or does it go by quorum? Yeah. And on round robin, it doesn't have to be half and half. At least that has been in the past.
Majority rules?
Yeah.
So we got it.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it is six votes. However, I think we provided the sponsor of the motion some bad information. The $250,000 reduction was withdrawn, and you are already at $500,000. So you're already at the Gov's rec without his motion. Apologies to the.
Oh, well then, so the whole thing could be wiped out?
Mr. Chairman, it could if you take appropriate action to withdraw that amendment.
Okay. And that consists of him withdrawing it?
Or re-vote to deny the increase.
I vote for a re-vote because we had the incorrect information based upon the motion.
Okay. So the motion is to put it up to what it already is. No, the motion is it's a redundant motion. So should we just vote to deny it? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No. We vote to deny the motion, right?
We don't need to take action. We just withdraw the motion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's gone. What else do we need to do?
Help me out here with procedure. I was looking for a no vote. I'm looking right here.
I know, but what is Mr. Chairman, what did we...
State budget.
We voted for it, so we voted to deny.
We didn't vote that last time. Oh. It was... Mr. Chairman, where are we at?
Mr. Chairman, I think a motion to reduce this by $250,000 would be in order. That will end up at the $500,000 exception request.
I make a motion we reduce it by $250,000.
Okay, so the motion is to reduce it, and you want us to deny that? Oh, we just increased it to 750. Okay, so the new motion is to reduce it. Is there a second? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. That motion passes. We're back where we started. Is there a second? Do I need a second to close?
You have not required such in the past.
Motion to close. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. It's closed. I just thought of that before somebody else might have had something in the governor's office, but governor's office is closed. Any other amendments on those first 10 agencies? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is a little bit of a latecomer, but I'd like to throw it out for consideration. Back home, we met with a very generous physician in our community who works with a like gentleman here in Cheyenne. And through the years, they have developed a very comprehensive clinic program to help children with cleft palates. And in the course of our budget cuts over the last couple years, we have cut the public funding in the area of dental health. And I'll save it for Department of Health. I was thinking it was A&I. So, Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I'll save that motion for later.
Okay. Would anybody else like to waste the committee's time?
Mr. Okay. Chairman?
I throw myself on the mercy of the court.
Don?
There were two individuals who asked staff to bring up Agency 007, one related to the youth challenge, one related to armory maintenance.
Ring a bell for anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Not doing either? Anything else? No? Last chance for any of those 10 agencies? Okay, those 10 agencies are passed. The next 10 or so are agencies 11 through 20, Department of Revenue, Board of Architects and Landscape, Miners Hospital Board, Attorney General, Barber Examiners Board,
Department of
Radiologic Technicians Board, yeah. Real Estate Commission, Professional Teaching Standards Board, and Environmental Quality.
They got together on their positions.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to open up Agency 20, Department of Environmental Quality.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. It is reopened.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could bring the committee's attention to page 48, and it's Division 600, which is the Solid and Hazardous Waste Unit. There is $11 million that remain unappropriated in the remediation account for hazardous and solid waste landfill remediation. The agency would like to have $2 million of that transferred into Fund 554, the Cease and Transfer Program.
The which program?
Cease and Transfer. So the
Cease and Transfer, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that would reduce the amount in the remediation account to $9 million and increase the Cease and Transfer Program account by $2
million.
And then we need to be authority to appropriate those funds in both accounts.
Don, you have the motion?
Mr. Chairman, we do.
It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Anything else in agriculture? I'm sorry, in DEQ.
Move to close.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I just have a question with regards to Department of Revenue. Don, we got a letter which is handout 182. So can you just refresh us what we did there and so we can discuss that and compare it to what was requested?
Mr. Chairman, yes. The Joint Appropriations Committee approved one additional FTE and support costs for the Excise Tax Division. We had originally said that might cost in the neighborhood of $175,000. The computation of the budget office from which LSO concurs is $128,685. There is a difference from that amount compared to the letter that you have before you. And the difference is the Department of Revenue uses the Family Plan Group Health Insurance, which is about $20,000 more expensive. The practice of the state is to fund all positions as single until such time as the position is occupied. Okay. So that's the difference between the two.
Okay.
In addition, the Joint Appropriations Committee added one FTE and associated support costs for the mineral tax division.
Correct.
That came to a net cost of $152,250. Personnel within that division are funded 72% generally funded and 28% from S7 or highway funds. So we've split that out according to the appropriate proportions. There's also a slight difference in the letter, and again, it has to do with the...
And so what we did was, under the letter, they only asked for one more in the revenue, and they had, and two more or three more in audit. Is that right, or...?
No, Mr. Chairman, the letter, the numbers are the same.
Okay.
Revenue is asking for two, and then you actually asked audit what would an expansion look like, and they came back with three FTE.
Right. And what did we do with it?
You have not acted on any of the audit FTE.
Audit request. Okay. Thank you. That's what I need to know.
So do we want to add any?
Not in revenue, because I think we've done what they asked.
Okay.
So just an audit when it comes up.
All right.
Anything else in this group of agencies? Seeing none, we'll move on. Agencies 21 through 30, Department of Audit, Respiratory Care Practitioners Board, Public Service Commission, State Parks and Cultural Resources, State Capital Construction, Board of Registration in Podiatry, Wyoming Water Development Office, and the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I would move to open the Department of Audit.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would move that we add the positions allocated in the governor's the handout number 182, but at the at the levels recommended by LSO on on the funding levels.
And these are... is there a second?
Second.
Don, are those funding levels the same that's in the letter from Department of Audit, of Department of Revenue?
Mr. Chairman, they are slightly off because of the
same reason.
No, we actually concur on the letter, excuse me. It's $504,789 for the three FTE.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Representative Summers.
So, Mr. Chairman, why not just do two and two, and why do the three? I mean, I understand it's a recommendation, but...
Ask the co-chair. He's the
So the answer is, I think that the in the efficiency studies, they asked for about nine positions in the Department of Audit, and we're giving them three based upon their recommendations of what they presume will be their most efficient in terms of revenue enhancements for the state. And what works within their division. So it just seems to me that, and as it was discussed to us, every one of these folks is going to bring in more revenue, and they will almost immediately pay for their positions plus.
According to the head of the Department of Revenue.
Yeah. And Tom Ravada here. So that's just the motion. You can drop it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would it be a friendly amendment to that to require reports so that we do know how much money they feel they have recouped with the addition of those people?
Sure.
Okay.
That's a friendly amendment?
So that would be a report to the JAC and the Department of Revenue by November 1st?
Correct.
So the motion is to add five employees...
No. This is just three.
I'm sorry, these three employees, the Department of Audit, and require a report.
Correct.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Those in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. It passes.
So, Don, would you remind me, because what I'd like to do is... at the end of the day, somehow I'd like to have the JAC report to Management Council and to the select committee that perform the efficiency study on all the particular actions that we've taken that addresses the some or part of the concerns in the efficiency studies, so that I think that they would want to know that as that bill is being crafted, because it will affect, I presume, part of what they will be doing. So.
Any other amendments to these departments up to Agency 30? Seeing none, we'll move on.
I do have one. I'm sorry. I did. Excuse me. Agency 24, please, Mr.
Representative
Chairman.
Representative Walters, Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Agency 24 is opened up. State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 23 and 24, I'd just like a clarification first before I may make a motion. From our staff, the $300,000 in general funds, do we need a footnote to ensure that that is one time?
Mr. Chairman, we do not because the governor is requesting it as such.
Okay. Then I don't need a motion. And
no, you don't need a motion?
No. Move to close.
Second.
Motion to close. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That agency is closed. Anything else between agencies 21 and 30? Seeing none, we move on. From agency 31 to agency 40, Collection Agency Board, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, Board of Cosmetology, Board of Dental Examiners, Board of Funeral Service Practitioners, Board of Midwifery, State Engineer, Paramutual Commission, Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust, and the Game and Fish Commission. Would anybody like to open any of those agencies?
Geologic survey's next.
Seeing none, we'll move on. We're going from 41 to 52. Fire prevention, geological survey, dietetics licensing board, insurance department, Wyoming Transportation Department, Board of Martial Arts, Department of Health, Department of Family Services, Livestock Board, and Medical Licensing Board.
Mr. Co-Chair. I would move to open the Department of Health.
Second.
Agency 48, Department of Health.
So, and I meant to do this when we were, and Don, because I don't think I did. Yeah. So with regards to the exception requests on behalf that were submitted and approved by the JAC, I would like, the motion is to only fund those exception requests for 1 year, and which means that they'll have to come back for the supplemental budget for those exception requests again. And the reason for this, if I have a second on the motion,
second.
Is that These are estimates or kind of a swag numbers that were presented based upon calculations, and typically in these numbers there's some flex. And so before we fund these full amounts, which is a considerable amount of money, $40 million plus, I would like to have hard numbers and a report from the Department of Health by probably December 1st. I want to give as much room as possible to the JAC so that we know that those numbers are accurate, and that with all knowing that we're going to have to fund these again in a supplemental budget, but we want to see what those numbers are and what and make sure that we're not overfunding, and that the process is working the way it's supposed to work. So basically, it's only funding the exception requests for 1 year.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only question is, a couple of these are just federally funded, and I don't know if that creates an issue in getting that appropriation.
We have had this discussion with the director, and I don't believe so.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Larson.
And I think in fairness to Representative Schwartz's concerns is this would allow us some time to consult with the Department of Health, and if we need to rectify part of this amendment, we could do so in that next round, Robin.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? Don.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a clarification. Is it the governor's exception request and not taking into account the JAC action?
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. We're still on agencies 41 to 52. Oh, 48 still open. Anybody else? 48. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to go to page 66 and 67. Mr. Chairman, if we could revisit the implementation of rate reductions for the mid-level medical professionals. I've tried to do some research. It's, of course, I'm working with, private groups on kind of a short time, but we've got, a good number of communities out in the rural areas that are only working with PAs.
I'm sorry, what's the motion? And then get a second.
My motion is to revert back to the governor's rec to deny and not, and so put back the $1.7 million.
Recommend denial of the reduction.
Mr. Chairman,
Denied the governor's denial?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion.
So, Mr. Chairman, there are a lot of communities in this rural area, in this rural state, that are working off of PAs and nurse practitioners where they are providing the same service as a physician. In other words, a patient goes in, cough for a month or whatever it is, and they examine them, they prescribe x-rays, they prescribe medication, treat the patient. And there's quite a number, and I'm not going to read the list, but communities around the state where these are the healthcare providers. And I just think it's very unwise of us to reduce their rates. And seeing as we already know that Medicaid rates are low, some folks have got 30% or 40% of their practice Medicaid patients. This is just a reduction in access, and I don't think it's a wise decision.
All right, just for some clarification for this amendment, would the amendment be to bring back the funding for 2 years or for 1 year as following from the last amendment by the co-chair?
Mr. Chairman, my suggestion just for simplicity is to, I would move to accept the governor's recommendation, so that would be 1.77, et cetera, biennium.
It'd be for 2 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, if we deny the exception request, it would just come back and be part of their standard budget. So the department made the recommendation for that reduction. If we follow then the governor denied it.
Right.
So it would just be part of it wouldn't be part of an exception request. And so if we follow the governor's denial, if I understand it correctly, then it would just go back into be part of their standard budget that we approve.
So it would continue on forever.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're speaking against it.
Well, I would thank you for inquiring, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate.
We're dealing with triple and quadruple negatives, sir.
We kind of are. Me being one of them. I think that there is no argument on the impact and the importance of a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant. But one of the arguments that has consistently existed across the healthcare industry is that those professions can come in at a lesser cost to communities and to providers because they, their education and their professional licensure is not as a doctor, but as a licensed nurse practitioner or as a physician's assistant. And so we often tout this as being the ability to save some funds, but what we have done in our state healthcare and our Medicaid financing division of the Department of Health have been reimbursing them 100% of what physicians get in Medicaid reimbursement. The Department of Health's effort here in their 320 cut was to say, okay, there perhaps is a difference on these mid-level professions and reduce them by to 85% of what the physicians would be reimbursed. And so the motion made previously was that we accept the department's 320 reduction to make that adjustment and go contrary to what the governor had done, which was to deny that recommendation.
I'm still not clear what side you're speaking of.
I would speak in opposition to my motion. Good.
Okay. I was getting an explanation from you, not an opinion.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
So not to, I'll just push back slightly on my good fellow here to the left. And it's not, I don't know where I exactly stand on this, but I will say this, that it's not about we recruit to cut costs. Sometimes in these rural areas, the only people we can recruit are physician assistants and nurse practitioners. So it's not that we're doing it to cut costs. It may be the only people we can get in the community to do the work. So I am a little concerned about cutting this, whether it's desperately needed or not. I am not sure of that. But I do worry that we are cutting to those rural communities, which I'm one of. And so anyway, I do think there's some reason to bring back part of this, whether it's all of it or not. I'm not sure.
Would anyone else like to speak on this motion? Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm conflicted because we need the help on our budgets, but I do need to represent a constituent of mine, a good friend actually, who went off to physician assistant school back east and incurred a similar debt that a physician would have. It's pretty much almost the same thing. And I got to thinking about him last night, and it's people like him that we have encouraged to come back to our state. Oftentimes they're the younger newcomers, as Representative Summers pointed out. They're coming to some of our communities, but they've got a lot to pay off. And because of that, I'm inclined to support the motion brought by the representative from Cheyenne.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, my guess is that the debt was not similar. We pay $1 million roughly per medical student, and I doubt that your good friend incurred $1 million in school fees in order to go and receive that graduate degree. And it's right now we pay 90%, so we're already paying a physician's assistant 90% of what a doctor would pay. And if you have a paralegal or if you have some other semi-professional, trust me, they do not make 90% of what those folks pay. And it's just a balance of equities and what you really get for that quality of education. And so on and against.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I will support this motion. I have a slightly different perspective. My concern is in terms of providing access to primary health care in rural communities. It is something that this state struggles with, and it picks up on what Representative Wilson was talking about, that some of these communities don't have access to physicians. This will be their point of access to primary care. If we don't provide access to primary care, what we're basically doing is taking a position that when they get sick, they will skip that step of getting primary care and wait till they're truly ill and wind up in the hospital where the cost to the state will be greater than the cost of providing these adjustments to the rates.
Representative Larson. Anybody else? I'm giving you last shot. Anybody
else? Mr. Chairman, just before the sponsor, if you could give us a tight summary of what you're doing here so we have a little better clarification. And just on that standpoint of rural health care, we broke away from, in my area, we broke away from a management company and decided to do it ourselves. We went from two family practitioners to seven. We added three orthopedic surgeons and two general surgeons. So to say you can't do it at a rural level, that's not correct. But with that, could you summarize your motion?
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'll summarize first and then put in my last few points. So as a cost-saving measure, the Department of Health recommended cutting PA's reimbursement, who are currently paid 100% of the physician fee, and cutting them to 85%, and nurse practitioners, who are currently paid 90% of the physician fee, to cut them to 85%. So the physician assistants would take a 15% pay cut on Medicaid patients, and the nurse practitioners would take, I'm not quite sure what that comes out to, 6 or 7% or something like that, with the total amount savings to the general fund, $888,606, and a like amount to the federal funds. The governor denied it, and several days ago we decided to deny the governor's rec, and I am moving that we accept the governor's denial, in other words, reverse what we did before. So just two further points, Mr. Chairman. And so, again, I've only had limited time. From folks that are tracking this, the list that they gave me of places that do not have any physician and they only have a PA, I wasn't able to get the nurse practitioners, was Lyman, Glen Rock, Tensleep, Medicine Bow, Cokeville, Hewlett, Aladdin, Grable, Dayton, and Guernsey. And I don't vouch for the cleanliness of the list. It was sort of the fog of war, Mr. Chairman. But the other point being, and certainly I accept the previous speaker's statement that, you know, we're not going to pay someone who's treating the flu the same as we're going to pay someone who's doing brain surgery, obviously. However, at this level of family practice, primary care medicine, nurse practitioners are legally, within their practice act, providing the same services as an MD. And that's where we really need these folks out in the rural areas. So I just think that this is one of those areas where we would be penny-wise and pound-foolish and really hampering access to care. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Representative Burkhart, you want to speak after the – go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I would just refer to the agency's own narrative on this when it talks about fees – that this reduction was to mimic current Medicare policy and methodology. These changes have been discussed with the Medicaid Medical Advisory Group, and the testimony was they would come and support this reduction if they were to ask. So to me, the agency is doing this, and they're just being prudent with the state's money and trying to keep control of expenses. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Wilson, would you like to speak again?
Did I look like I did, Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, I'll just say one thing, and referring to the Medicare rate, let's remember that Medicare looks at these things from a national level, and we already know that, I mean, two things, that many states do not allow nurse practitioners to practice independently, and we do, and we did that on purpose to provide access to care. The other thing is we also know that mostly Medicare folks – live back east, and they think between Washington, D.C. and Western Virginia is rural. So I don't know that I buy their thought process in every category.
Since Representative Burkhart spoke after you, I'll speak after you, but I'm going to speak in favor of the motion. That list that you gave, I'm very aware of that list, and there are a lot of portions in this state, places in the state, Well, you have to drive 50 or 60 miles just to see a PA or a nurse practitioner. And it's a health crisis. And I think we need to do everything we can to recruit some of these people to these areas of the state. And if we're going to pay them close to what we pay a doctor, I think it actually saves us money in the long run to give these people preventative care rather than to let whatever condition they have fester, and then we've got a major expense in our hands. So I think it actually saves us money in the long run. And with that, I'll call anybody call the motion?
Question.
Call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion passes.
Mr. Co-Chair. I have another motion.
Okay. Couldn't wait.
So currently what this motion, it's gone back to 90%, 100% and 90%. The recommendation of the Department of Health was to put them both at 85%. So I would move that we move nurse practitioners to 90% instead of 85%. Physician's assistants to 90%. And so move that up from the Department of Health's recommendation from 85 to 90, and then nurse practitioners at 85%. So it's a compromise to pay the nurse practitioners more at 90% of a physician's rate versus the Department of Health's recommendation of 85%. And then the physician's assistants, and then the nurse practitioners at 85%, who are currently being paid 90%. Does that make sense?
So no, I don't understand what the hell you're doing.
Let me do that again, because I keep mixing up the terminology.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you can give a dollar figure to that, would help.
I can't. I mean, you can. So right now, physicians' assistants make 100%, and the recommendation of the Department of Health would to put them at 85%. So my motion is to move them up to 90%, or from 100% down to 90% instead of 85%. So it's an increase for the physician's assistants. Currently, now a nurse practitioner makes 90%, and so I would just reinstate.
To equalize the two.
I would reinstate what the Department of Health does and move them from 90% down to 85%. So the change is primarily, it's just a shift down, but not so much for the physician's assistant. So they, instead of going from down to 85%, they go to 90%. That's the gist of the motion. And then the So does that make sense?
No. As a result of your motion, what percentage would each make?
So currently, if you look at the physician's assistant, makes 100%.
And that's the way it is now after that motion.
That's correct. The Department of Health wanted to drop them down to 85%.
Yes.
I'm saying my new motion is to put them at 90%. So they're not at 85%. They would be at, so it increases at 5%. Currently, the nurse practitioners are at 90%. So I'm moving them down 5% to 85%. So it would be 90% and 85%.
Second.
I'll second the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
So perhaps just cut a certain amount. So if you want to save $200,000 out of this, or $300,000 or $400,000, just cut that and make the percentage commensurate with the cut.
The problem is we don't know, based upon the information provided here, how many are nurse practitioners and how many are physician's assistants. So we can't do that. You've got to work on percentages. But I can tell you that basically we're increasing one of them by 5% out of the total cut. So my guess is that's roughly adding back in about a third, if would make sense. But we don't know how many of which we have.
Mr. Co-Chair? I would move to amend your amendment, and I hope you find it friendly, to just reverse those. A nurse practitioner is actually more schooled than a physician's assistant. That's why a nurse practitioner has prescription authority on their own. A physician's assistant doesn't. A physician's assistant, all their prescribing authority has to be overseen by a physician.
They're already paid at a lower rate.
Yeah, but you want to lower one to 90 and the other to 85, is my understanding. Okay. You want to lower the you want to lower the nurse practitioner lower than the physician's assistant. I think the nurse practitioner should be higher than the physician's assistant. They're the ones who operate on their own. Physician's assistants cannot operate unless they're supervised by a physician.
But it's not a friendly amendment.
Okay. Representative Larson. No. Okay. All right. Does everybody understand the motion? Physicians' assistants would be paid at 90%, and nurse practitioners would be paid at 85%. That's the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion fails. Division? All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We lost somebody. We got another motion. You put them all at 90.
Well, no, I think I would really, if you're going to go along that percentage line, Chairman Burns is actually correct, in my opinion, that the licensed nurse practitioners and their act allows them to actually have more ability to serve without a physician's oversight than does a physician's assistant. Physician's assistant has to work through a doctor. And if you're going to do that, I think in an equitable manner, according to our practice acts, and Mrs. Wilson could certainly correct me on this, I would be inclined to do as you said and have the licensed nurse practitioners be at 90% and the physician's assistant at 85.
So moved.
Motion to amend, Mr. Chair.
There is no motion on the floor now.
Just do a new motion.
Okay.
I make that motion.
He made that motion.
Makes a motion.
I thought there was a second.
So according to the new motion, nurse practitioners would be paid at 90%. And physician's assistants would be paid at 85%. That's the motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, was there a second?
Second.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move to amend the amendment. And
wasn't it your own motion?
Put them both at 90.
Mine is to just put them both at 90.
Is that friendly?
It's friendly.
All right, both at 90. Any other discussion on that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I would only say that we're going against Department of Health policy by doing this, and that, so I'll be a no on that.
Well, with this, we're disagreeing with everybody. Yeah.
In conclusion, before perhaps we vote on this as the sponsor of the amendment, I would just reach out personally to my oldest daughter, who is a physician's assistant, may be listening, and appreciate. I'm sure she'll be appreciating the cut that I am imposing for her industry. And
with Father's Day coming up.
Yes, yes.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, which is that I see, you know, the original Department of Health discussion, I'm sure, was based on some thinking, even though I disagree with it. But I think we might want to really be kind of careful about, as JAC, getting into the refined weeds of provider rate setting and the entire future panorama of Medicaid services.
Representative Larson.
And, Mr. Chairman, in fairness, if this amendment were to pass, the Department of Health would have to submit, amend their Medicaid plan for those rates, but we do that We do that. We're doing it with the DD preschools. We're doing it with the DD community providers. All of that that we do in some way is impacting policy that the Department of Health is administering, and they have to make those adjustments.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion fails. Any other motions in this agency? Don?
Mr. Chairman, there was a legislator interested on page 44, unit 0420, opportunity for SCHIP to be managed differently.
Mr. Chairman, and I had, if that was me, I've got a personal bill out there that will rectify the problem that's described in 048 that was brought forth. Thank you.
Any other motions in this agency? Representative, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was off to such a great start when we were under the A&I, thinking that that's where I wanted to request that we put this. But my motion would be that we require the Department of Health to provide clinical support for the cleft palate clinic, which is a two-time-a-year volunteer effort to assist young children with that affliction. So that would be my motion. If I get a second, I could briefly explain what that's about.
It's seconded.
Thank you. Just real quickly, and there's a lot of information on this, but as I started to explain before, there's a physician in Casper who volunteers his time, two physicians here in Cheyenne. They come together, and twice a year, they hold clinics on behalf of these young children who are afflicted with cleft palates. It's all volunteer what they do, but what they've run into because of the cuts we've made the last 2 years, the back office support has gone away under the dental health program. My motion simply says that somewhere in the Department of Health, we would request that they provide that minimum office support so that they can keep track of the records and help to pull this two-time-a-year clinic together. It takes pulling healthcare professionals from all over the state, and being a rural state, oftentimes that takes some logistics and some things that these volunteers have found that they really need at least that minimum amount of back support. And so that's the gist of the motion. Would hope you'd support so we can get that clinic back up and going.
Mr. Co-Chair. So. Senator Landon, the problem is it is such a broad motion. We don't know who the back support is. We don't know how much it is. We don't know where it's going to happen or where it's going to take place. And we don't know if there are hospital dollars involved, if there are clinic dollars involved, and why would it be health fund dollars, and where would those health fund dollars come from? Who would the personnel be involved? I mean,
if you're going to make a motion, I suggest a specific amount of money and where that money's coming from.
Mr. Chairman, I can't do that. I don't.
Well, maybe
have,
you can get some help over there.
I don't have money involved. But
Mr. Chairman, I think the committee probably isn't all that opposed to this amendment, but I would be happy to help the senator go back to the Department of Health to kind of get a feel for what that program was, what division it, yeah, I understand it's in adult dental perhaps here, but what that would entail, and maybe we could readdress that back in the next round, Robin, to where we could actually identify funds and impacts on the department.
We are planning to have another round, Robin, at the beginning of the session because not all the committees are done meeting and all the reports are in yet. I would suggest then, because right now, your motion, it sounds good, but it's kind of like voting for world peace. It's
Mr. Chairman,
there.
I have a ton of information that I could tie up our time today. I won't do that. I appreciate the good representative.
Come to us with something specific. A certain amount of money from where?
I'll be glad to do that. I don't think it takes more money. I think we can carve out that staff support that I'm alluding to, and I think that's very doable for the Department of Health. We'll come back to the committee.
Thank you. Sounds good. Anything else in Department of Health? Agency 48.
Move to close.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Health is closed.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move to open Agency 049, Department of Family Services.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. It wins 1-0.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to open up on page 83 of the Department of Family Services Budget Division 5900. Going back to the amendment that Chairman Nicholas made yesterday to reduce all exception requests to an annual fee, we impacted their priority number one, which was to provide enough funding for them to get through this year. So that request was for $5 million with the amendment that cut in half their ability to get through this fiscal year. My motion, Mr. Chairman, is to add back in $250,000 to that to
$2.5 million.
Thank you. $2.5 million back into that to bring it to that $5 million that they need to get through this biennium.
And this is local services?
No, this is just to, for the department as a whole in the services that they were short for this fiscal year.
And Mr. Kocher, my motion didn't intend to cut the dollars they need just to get by this fiscal year. This was those cash.
So we're just going to add $2.5 million. That's the motion.
That's correct.
And there's a second.
Correct.
Second.
Question.
Any discussion? Seeing none. All those. Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, this is effective immediate.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. We're adding $2.5 million. You got a problem with that?
Mr. Chairman, I have reservations. Maybe the sponsor wants to bring me a little closer to that $2.5 million right now.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dockstetter, you'll recall that when the Department of Health took over Agency 049 and upon review of their budget status, that they were significantly underfunded for this biennium. And part of this budget process this year was to, in one of their exceptions, was to get enough money to make it through this fiscal year, to get through to June. Their request was for $5 million, which we approved, which was the governor's recs. We approved that. Then in the process of the day, Chairman Nicholas come back with an amendment that to look at exception requests in the Department of Health, Department of Family Services, and to take their exception requests that were based on estimates and cut them in half and reevaluate and fund the rest at the end of that at the supplemental budget session. To do that on this one then would reduce in half the funds they need to get through the remainder of this fiscal year. So we're putting back, as Chairman Nicholas said, that unintended reduction back into their budget to allow them to function through the rest of this year.
And so, Mr. Co-Chair, you may recall that DFS made 23% cuts to their budget, roughly. And what they did was they have not paid their actual – by doing so, they are incapable of paying their obligations that are owed. And so we're just – we have to go back to all that because they actually owe the dollars.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, down here, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for our budget staff before I opt for a possible change. On page 68, priority number 5, after all action taken, did we end up funding that at $1 million for the biennium, $500,000 a year, or are we at $2 million for the biennium, million a year, after all action taken this week?
Priority five?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the status of the JAC motions on that item is $1 million effective immediate.
For the biennium, could be considered?
Yes. It could, okay. It could be used for all the balance of fiscal year 18 and all of 19 and 20.
Okay. With that information, Mr. Chairman, I do not have a motion. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For your reference, this will be two pages, page 46 and 87. My motion is in relationship to the 320 reductions that are across the department to exempt Unit 5903, which is community crisis beds, object code 0613, and Unit 5915, local services, object code 0622, to make that they cannot take the 320 reductions out of those lines.
So the motion is to exempt those two object codes from reduction, 320 reduction.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Representative Schwartz, is the intent there that in an effort to reduce, to make reductions, that they could come in and reduce the rates they pay on those? Help us understand.
Mr. Chairman, may I? Representative Larson, the issue would be by accepting the governor's denial, we set the bed rates. But the bed rates are not the only issue in this. It's also making sure there's funding adequate to meet those bed rates in terms of number of juveniles who are assigned, because if that number decreases, DFS might opt to use more restrictive alternatives that cost them less money but may not be as appropriate for the juvenile in question. So I just want to make sure that because the rates are higher than DFS had requested, that this doesn't create a situation where they just don't use these options to save money. And these options are often the most appropriate placement.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As kind of normal for this budgeting process, I'm a little confused. The agency took these as 320 reductions. The governor denied those reductions, which meant the money stayed in, and we accept the governor's rec, which meant all the money stayed in. So I don't understand what the motion is. I'm confused.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, that is the action we took. But then at the end of our discussion of the entire Department of Family Services, Representative Walters proposed a motion that passed that had a 320 reduction that goes across the entire agency. And I just want to make sure that because we know they wanted to reduce these particular lines, and we rejected that, I want to make sure that they're protected.
Mr. Chairman?
Kevin?
The motion was, respectfully, the motion was $250,000 across the board within DFS. And I was going to bring this topic up at the right time, but now that we're discussing it, I just wanted to add some value to this. It is true. The Department of Family Services took a very significant cut, the 23%. And even this $250,000 reduction that took place, I didn't speak to it. It moved pretty quickly, but that $250,000 is going to be difficult for the Department of Family Services to find inside their budget. And I think Representative Swartz is speaking to the fact that this particular, on page 45, this particular Section 320 that was adopted by the governor drove the conversation for the $250,000 across the agency can find it anywhere they can inside the Department of Family Services. But that $250,000 is going to be very difficult for them to find.
And so the motion is to, in that $250,000, they cannot take it out of this particular area.
Mr. Chairman, correct, but it's actually two particular areas.
Okay.
It's and just so everybody understands what we're talking about.
Yeah, 613, and what's the other one?
The first one is community crisis beds.
Yes.
The second one are residential treatment centers, group homes, and BOCES.
And what?
BOCES, I forget.
The code, what's the code, object code number?
Oh, the object code is 0622 on that, on page 87.
I thought you said 500 something.
That's the unit, 5915.
Oh, okay. Okay, does everybody understand the motion? Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Anything else in DFS? Don.
Mr. Chairman, two more items that members brought forward. Let me just toss them out if there's any interest. One is you had a callback with the Department of Health on their $9 million eligibility system. This would be the appropriate time to do so. You could do so elsewhere if you so desired, or not at all.
I think that's going to come up in later.
And then there was some interest, and I believe it was just an explanation on the Children's Trust Fund collection.
Mr. Chairman, that was me, and that's all resolved. No further action is required.
Okay. Representative Summers.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to raise the issue that we've talked about on the 9 to 10 million, whatever the 9 point whatever million. So we had kind of conferred about, you know, if we guarantee a SIPA, taking a piece of it out of that. But we also talked about probably $3 million of general fund dollars as we were discussing out there. So can we go ahead and do that later in a motion and not worry about doing it in this budget, or do we have to place it in this budget now if we wanted to do $3 million worth of that?
Mr. Chairman, usually this would be the appropriate time if you wanted to add general funds to an agency. I recognize this is a larger issue potentially.
So I'd move to add $3 million of general funds to the in partial payment for the computer system.
Available.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, the motion is to add $3 million from general funds to DFS for their computer system. I thought it was they needed more than $3 million.
They do. We're going to bring the rest out of SIPA.
Oh, okay. So it's the $3 million. It's the immediate $3 million. Okay, got you. Representative Larson.
And Mr. Chairman, the discussion and the question all revolves around we had asked him that they needed to get that done quick, and if we go through the normal appropriations process, we guarantee it through SIPA, those funds wouldn't be available till later. So we needed to make some funding available for him now.
Bless you.
Any other discussion?
Don, should we do the SIPA now?
No, that's fine, but I think it would be appropriate, a commensurate amount of matching federal funds.
Yes.
The 9-to-1 or 8-to-1.
Yeah, just commensurate. Some of it's 90-to-1, some of it's 80-to-1.
Okay. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just clarification, is this general fund?
Yes. So the motion is to add $3 million in general funds to DFS for their computer matching, I guess, to
enrollment operating system.
Okay, enrollment operating system. Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Did you want to bring a motion on the SIPA funds for later?
Yep.
What's the motion?
Later.
Huh? Oh, I thought you said it'd be better to do it now.
Mr. Chairman, the general fund portion definitely would be, and you've addressed the general fund portion. The SIPA, I think, is part of a larger discussion.
Okay, got you. All right. Anything else on Department of Family Services, Agency 49? Anything else? Is there a motion to close? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The agency is closed. Do you have a problem?
I was hoping we could have a brief moment.
All right, we'll take a 10-minute break. Anybody else want to open up any of the other agencies from 41 to 52? Don?
Mr. Chairman, I have one other item on this. If there is interest by the member to pull out $15 million for a portion of the endow recommendation and place that in the Department of Transportation, Agency 045, that would be the appropriate place to do so. If you want to handle it differently or not address that,
I've been going back and forth on that and being told that I don't have to, that the money's there anyway. Okay, we'll move on to the next group. DWS? What's DWS?
Workforce Services.
Workforce Service.
Oh, Workforce, Department of Workforce Services. Yeah, okay. 53 through 60. Department of Workforce Services, Board of Nursing, Oil and Gas Commission, Board of Optometry, Community College Commission, Board of Speech Pathologists and Audiologists, Board of Pharmacy, and State Lands and Investments. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to reopen Agency 57, Community College Commission.
Community College Commission.
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. 57 is reopened.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my motion refers to page 48, the Veterans Tuition Waiver Program. And I would move to eliminate.
48, you said?
I'm sorry?
What page?
Page 48.
48.
I'm not speaking any to the funding, but we did have a motion that had passed that there should be no new enrollees. And, Mr. Chairman, my movement would be to strike that footnote, and my reasoning is just that there is a bill that has been dropped, Senate File 36, and in respect to the work that committee has done, it is a committee bill. To look at this program specifically, which is for combat veterans, I think I would like to just suggest that we take off the footnote and let that process work.
So right now the position is we are not allowing any enrollees, and you would like, your motion is to waive that for combat veterans.
No, Mr. Chairman. The entire program is for combat veterans. That was just informational. But the motion had been, there was a footnote inserted in our deliberations that there should be no new enrollees. But, Mr. Chairman, seeing as the Transportation Committee, Joint Transportation, has a committee bill that we will be considering in session, Senate File 36, it seems to me that to have this footnote in there kind of conflicts with what the committee was trying to do with the bill as far as revising the program. And so my suggestion would be to delete the footnote and let the body deliberate on the bill so that it doesn't have this conflicting with it.
Okay, the motion is to get rid of the footnote. Is there a second?
So, Mr. Co-Chair, I would make a friendly amendment to that motion. And the problem being that if that bill does not pass or whatever, then we're right back at square one. So I would suggest that we only have this applicable in the event that that bill does not pass.
I'm trying to figure out how it would conflict with it. If the bill is to end any new registrants, how does that conflict with the footnote?
Mr. Chairman, so the bill, and I haven't read every line, but the bill makes some changes, adds restrictions, but does continue the program. So if we were to have a footnote ending the program when a bill passed to continue the program with other restrictions, it seems like that adds undue complexity. And so I would accept the chairman's motion, which would be that the footnote would only apply in the case that the bill doesn't pass, because then they won't have.
So that's a friendly amendment.
Program. I think so.
Okay. Everyone understand? Representative Walton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would speak against the entirety of the amendment as proposed, friendly and otherwise. Whether we this Senate file goes through or not, the law will still be on the books, and the law states that it's basically when funds are available, and I would contend that funds in our constrained financial times are not as available as they were when this legislation was first passed in about mid-2000, 2006 or 7. And so by the action we took earlier in the week when we said that we would not accept new folks into this program, we honor our commitment to those that are in the program currently, and yet we start to help the general fund and help our state finances by easing the state out of this financial obligation by not allowing new members. I think the Senate file that's being proposed is entirely appropriate at this time because it forces us to take a review of this program during a tight financial time, and then at some point in the state's future when there is finances available to pay for a program like this, we'll have a great structure in place and we as a state can move forward with this program. But at this time, I think it's very appropriate for in these financial times for us to do this, and I think the work of the committee is great, and so I would encourage us to defeat this amendment.
Any other discussion? Any other discussion?
Mr.
Seeing none.
Chairman.
Senator Hastert.
I'm trying to get this whole statute and trying to work with staff on it. But anyway, you know, 1914-106 is free tuition and fees for education of war orphans and veterans definitions. And the first one says eligible person includes a surviving spouse and dependent of any person who is a resident of Wyoming at the time of entering into active state service. And then it goes on to the death of a service-connected, you know, the death has to be service-connected of the individual honorably discharged or died of an injury or disease while at an active duty. And then it goes on to talk about Vietnam veterans' active service with the military, received and discharged from the forces, has been a resident in Wyoming for not less than a year, and combat veteran, surviving spouse, or dependent. And then it goes on to those definitions, overseas combat veteran. So I believe it's pretty tight already. I think Representative Wilson has a good amendment. I think that between that and the bill, taking care of the situation is adequate. And I think that this is a good program to continue with the and taking a look at the legislation coming up. We have the sideboards on. If the bill doesn't pass, then there's no new enrollees, so I support the motion.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I support Representative Walters in this. I have in my notes, and I don't know how accurate they are, but I have in my notes that this program started at about $200,000, and now we're up to $1.2 million. And I think by constraining this, we can see what comes out of the legislation. And if the legislature feels that in a future session that we need to put more money into this, we always have the ability to do that. And I think this is just a good way to take a pause and reevaluate the program, see what comes out of the legislation. And so I don't support this amendment either.
Any other discussion?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No. No.
That amendment fails. Any other amendments in the Community College Commission? Is there a motion to close?
Move to close.
Move to close. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. This agency is closed. Anything else in agencies 53 through 60? Seeing none of those, we move on to agencies 61 through 70, the Wyoming Board of CPAs, the Board of Physical Therapy, the Governor's Residence, the Board of Hearing Aid Specialists, the Board of Athletic Training, the Wyoming Tourism Board, the University of Wyoming, the Board of Psychologist Examiners, WICHE, and Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission.
So there may be a couple UW issues that come up when we do SIPA, but my preference is probably to do them there. So, Don, does it, at the end of the day, does it make any difference?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's consistent with what you've done, general fund actions here.
Okay.
Does anybody have any, would anybody like to open any of these agencies? Mr. Co-Chair, could you chair for a moment?
Absolutely.
I would like to open the University of Wyoming, Agency 67.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Co-Chair.
I'm trying to find out where it is. But it's the 4-H.
Ah, okay.
What page is that?
Mr. Chairman, that would be under the university's block grant, unit 6701, the table being on page 33.
In testimony, we learned that the university was cutting off the 4-H employees around the state, and this came kind of sudden and didn't allow give time for any adjustment. So and I'm also doing this on behalf of the good senator from Devil's Tower also. I'd ask that we restore funding for 1 year.
Second.
To the 4-H.
It's been moved and seconded in the discussion. Seeing then, all those in favor, Don?
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. Do you want to add general funds or direct the university?
Direct the university.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
Question.
Seeing then, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That motion carries. We have a motion to close.
Motion to close.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Back in your hands, Captain.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone want to open? Again, anything in 061 to 70? Seeing none, we move on. Agency 72 to 84, the Retirement System, Board of Outfitters, Wyoming Department of Enterprise Technology Services, Mental Health Professions, Board of Nursing Home Administrators, Department of Corrections, the Board of Parole, the Board of Occupational Therapy, and the Board of Professional Geologists. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to open the Department of Corrections.
80.
The
second.
Reference will be on page 98.
98.
And my motion.
Hang on. Let us get there.
Yep.
Okay.
My motion is to adjust the funding for the residential substance abuse treatment. Currently, as written, it is $1,182,024 in general fund. But when you look at the governor's recommendation, which we did not accept, there was $200,000 of tobacco money that we have left outstanding. So the motion is to change the funding to $982,024 of general fund and $200,000 of tobacco.
Second for discussion.
All right, moved and seconded. Representative Larson.
Just a question to LSO is, do we have, were those funds previously committed and are available, or are there no more funds available? I like the deal.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, as a result of your motion, the tobacco funds that were recommended by the governor in this unit, 040452, were reduced by $200,000. Those are, at this point, uncommitted elsewhere.
Are committed or uncommitted?
Are uncommitted.
Okay. Say that in a different way.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, you can spend the $200,000.
So, Mr. Chairman, so if I understand correct, we could, if we approve this, then we could reduce general funds by $200,000 to this substance abuse program. Is that correct?
And
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, that's my revised totals reduce the general fund by $200,000.
And then my question is, would this become recurring? Because my understanding is that the fund, tobacco fund, is on a declining nature. So is this one time or is this ongoing?
Mr. Chairman, this would be ongoing.
So I would move to amend to make it one time in the biennium.
Did Don, did we approve the governor's rec on this?
No, Mr. Chairman. You added back $599,424 of general fund and took out $200,000 of tobacco trust fund. I believe the representative, just to make sure I understand it correctly, is adding back the $200,000 and taking down general funds?
By that much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, that is correct, Don.
And the tobacco trust funds would be one time.
So the total amount stays at $1.182 million.
Mr. Chairman, I think I believe it will be. So, Mr. Chairman, I think it's 982.
Of general funds and plus, yes, 200 tobacco, so the total funding stays the same at $1.182 million.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Anything else in corrections? Don.
Mr. Chairman, there was discussion yesterday about a post-adjustment. Okay.
No post-adjustment? Okay. Anything else in corrections? Is there a motion to close? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Corrections is closed. Anything else in that group of agencies?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, just to let the body know, I think we'll come in a Section 300 with the bulk purchasing thing that we kind of talked about with ETS, but it'll come later.
Okay. I can't wait. Okay, we'll move on to the next group of agencies. We are going from Agency 85 to 211. Wyoming Business Council, District Attorney, Judicial District 1, District Attorney, Judicial District 7, County and Prosecuting Attorneys, UW Medical Education, Education School Finance, Department of Education, and the Board of Equalization. Would anyone like to open any of those agencies? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to open Agency 206, the Department of Education.
Second.
What page?
Page 54.
You're on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a reduction of one position within this unit and specify that that position cannot be the position that supports the State Board of Education.
Second. Accountability and Communications. It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? Explanation.
Mr. Chairman, I offer this as a reduction based on their testimony. It appeared that there was a little bit of overstaffing in this particular section. I made a note of it as they even discussed it, and so I thought this would be the appropriate time to take action.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. Anything else in
Mr. Chairman?
Department of Education, Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I propose an amendment on the charts on page 41 on the National Board Certification Program. I would propose that that program be reduced to $218,500 with some additional controls on that for and be good for 1 year.
$218,500.
And if I get a second, I can explain that number.
Second. Is there a second?
Page 41.
Okay. 41.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded.
Mr. Chairman, I've worked with staff to try to figure out how this program is funded and paid for, and the best staff comes up with is that $218,500 would be more than sufficient, along with some sideboards, for this program for 1 year. And that's what I'm proposing. The sideboards would be that for 1 year, this money be used specifically and for no other purpose other than to fund the certifications, the cost of certification. That it would require a dollar match from a nonprofit organization, and that the teacher eligibility stay the same, and that by November 1st, the department come back to us with a recommendation on how to fix, to me, all the apparent problems in this program and the funding, and where they want to go in the future with it. It gives them 1 year to fix it, and staff has the wording. This is a conceptual amendment they'll put in. And, Mr. Chairman, that
so
is...
So you want to reduce this by $218,000 or down to?
Down to $218,000.
From $3 million?
No, from a total of currently 672,034.
You're on page 41?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, 141.
Oh,
I apologize.
Wow, I was.
It's been a long 2 weeks.
141?
141. I apologize.
That's
Mr.
different.
Chairman.
Okay.
Code 1327, unit 1327.
Oh, what in the world is he talking about?
Yeah, okay. Why didn't somebody slap me earlier?
Mr. Chairman.
Nothing little teaching wouldn't help.
Mr. Yeah. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
So, Mr. Chairman, maybe staff could remind us, because I made a motion to bring in what the rec was from the superintendent. So where do we stand on that, and how much was that?
Mr. Chairman, the original request was for $758,190. The superintendent of public instruction threw a letter requested a reduction, which the JAC approved, of $86,156. The current running total is $672,034. I believe the the motion is to reduce just series 0626, not the personnel associated with this, or?
Correct, Mr. Yes. Chairman. It's only the program.
Okay.
By so, how much? So, Mr. Chairman, I'm still not clear on how much is getting cut. So we cut 80-some thousand.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're only funding this for 1 year, so we're actually not cutting that much. The cut is consistent with what was done during the last budget session. It was reduced to $450,000. So we're not cutting that much, but if you take all the amounts in there, take out the personnel costs and everything, we are not really cutting that much. I think it works out to be somewhere around $270,000 reduction total.
Mr. Chairman, so I'll ask staff again, what are we cutting? And
Mr. Chairman, this motion would cut $187,500. That's in addition to the $86,000 that you cut yesterday. So just this motion, $186,500.
So, Mr. Chairman,
187. Excuse me.
So, my question to staff: if this was a 1 year, so what he's suggesting is this is a 1 year.
Correct.
So, a 1 year reduction, and then I guess I don't understand that. So that'd just be 187 out of 1 year. So, Mr. Chairman, I can't support this. I do think there needs to be some correction. I think by moving this into the Department of Education and taking it away from the district that was providing it, I think you're likely to gut this program, and I'm worried about that. So I cannot support this.
Mr. Chairman, the intent is not to gut the program. The intent is to get some controls on the program. You know, as this committee, we're responsible for appropriating the money, know where it goes, know how it's spent, and what it does. I think we had testimony in here at least twice, and to me, never got clear answers on the whole program. It funds the program for a year. It gives the department time to work with a third party and come up with a real program. I think all of us would agree that the statutes need work, and I'm taking the 218.5 number off a recommendation made by staff. It lets the department continue for a year to encourage teacher certification, encourage 50 of them. And that would be my proposal, along with the sideboards, to require them to work with this committee and the education committee to come up with a workable program that people can follow.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And back to my the presenter of the amendment. He stated in his comments that would require the Department of Health or the Department of Education to come back and work with a nonprofit organization for matching funds. And I know that that's the current organization that provides matching fund is a nonprofit, but why does it have to be a nonprofit if there was a for-profit corporation that wanted to participate in such an activity that would restrict them?
Mr. Chairman, most of this money is in grants, and better off go to nonprofit than a for-profit. I don't think we can make grant payments to for-profit organizations.
It would be receiving funds. Okay, whatever. I was just wondering if you just opened it up and said to get matching funds, and it doesn't.
Okay, I would take that as a friendly amendment to obtain one-for-one matching funds.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
I don't think it went so well.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Suffers.
Mr. Chairman, in light of my good colleague's attempt to take a look at this program, which I think is important, is perhaps we could address a footnote to WDE to take a look at this program, to take a look at the statutes governing this program, and to provide recommendations back to both Joint Education Committee and the Appropriations Committee on the way to create a sustainable program going forward.
I think that would include a detailed explanation of how it's currently being administered, what, if it's in compliance with the statute, and
That was my intent.
So,
a look at the statute as well,
and recommended changes or modifications needed.
Agreed. Friendly amendment. If there's a second on mine.
Yeah, second.
So is there a motion?
Yes. For a footnote.
Mr. Chairman, I made a motion
Don,
for
you regurgitate.
He's going to regurgitate that, Mr.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, my understanding is a directive via footnote to the Wyoming Department of Education to report, presumably by November 1st, 2018, to the Joint Appropriations Committee and Joint Education Committee on the current statutes governing the National Board Certification Program, the current administration of the program, compliance with statute, recommendations for a sustainable program going forward.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Mr. Chairman, in the same unit, I would move to amend and reduce the appropriation by $222,034. Down to $450,000 for the program, and that is consistent with what we gave them the last budget.
Out of 5839?
No, Mr. Chairman, out of the current total of 672,034.
Oh, okay.
So I have a question on that. The standard budget is 508. The base budget is 724. So can you just explain that to
So, Mr. Chairman, I think I can help explain that. So we made a kind of a global cut in this unit. Department of Education chose to take the cut out of this program, at least partially. I don't know if they did their whole cut, but they took partial cut out of this. So it's my understanding that in the past this thing's been funded basically the same. It's just when we made that cut, Department of Education made that cut here. And I don't know that they needed to make it here, but that's another story.
So then the question is, are we adding back the cut that the Department of Education made through the exception request? And what did we do with that? I've lost track.
We brought back part of that other than the $80,000 that they said they didn't need. So,
okay. Mr. Chairman.
And if we want to make a cut somewhere else in $1,300, I'm good with that.
But. Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, historically, the last five budgets, the department has requested $656,000 for this program, and on the average has reverted $300,000 a year. So that was why the last time we reduced it to $450,000 to match what they had reverted. This, with the exception request, that attempts to bring back in that reduction.
All right.
So that's why my motion to reduce it by the $222,034 down to $450,000, consistent with the last budget.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask staff if you have any idea of what went on, because that's not what my recollection exactly. And maybe you can't sort it out here.
Mr. Chairman, I follow the requester's motion to the point where we're currently at $672,034, and I believe he mentioned that. I can't reconstruct the rationale for cutting it to $23,034, but I believe that is the motion.
Yes. But the question is, how much have they reverted over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years?
I have no information to confirm or dispute.
So, and Mr. Chairman, I just want to follow up that I was speaking correctly. When we cut last year in this budget, we cut in that whole division. We cut an X number of dollars in the whole division. And then it was left to the Department of Education to place where those cuts would be.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct, Representative Summers.
But I think that may be correct, but my understanding is that they have been reverting back to $200,000 a biennium.
Kevin, do you know?
On a regular basis.
Mr. Chairman, the legislature cut $250,000 from this program last biennium. So if you're on page 141, you can see how that works on the bottom line, 724 to 508.
Okay, got that.
And then there's a request to return the second half of the biennialization, making that a $500,000 cut. And that brings us up to the 758. And then the superintendent asked to reduce it by $86,156. So the budget book is tracking the movements of the legislature.
Do you have any information on what reversions have come out of this program?
Mr. Chairman, I'll take a look at that real quick and see if I can't find something.
Okay.
You want to lay this back till we get that information?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, please.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if Matt Wilmart's here, and I think he can provide that.
There you go.
I was looking for his memo, and I can't.
Well, sit back, relax. So after this, we have 300.
Mr. Chairman, looking at the Chapter 17 report, it appears on their grants they've been spending the dollars.
Plow through because we want to run the numbers and then have a chance to know them all before we adjourn.
So, but don't we want to? We should take lunch and give them a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Chairman, I just pulled up the Chapter 17 report. It looks at the prior bienniums, and it looks like they're spending the money that's being appropriated.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I can give you some history. In the 2007-2008 biennium, they were appropriated $656,000 for the certification fees. They reverted $355,853. In the 2009-10 biennium, they were appropriated $656,000. They reverted $334,027. In the 2011-12 biennium, they were appropriated $656,000. They reverted $212,950. In the 2013-14 biennium, they were appropriated $656,000. They did not revert anything. In the 2015-16 biennium, they were appropriated $656,000, reverted $415,726. In the current biennium, they were appropriated $656,000 out of the global cuts that Representative Summers talked about. They reduced down $206,000 for a revised appropriation of $450,000. That's where we sit today. And then I think the superintendent reduced that further in the revised standard budget. They're asking for an exception request, and that has been reduced by the $86,000 via the superintendent letter.
All right. Representative Larson.
So as Matt went through those numbers, and there was a consistent of $658,000 being appropriated and about $300,000 being reduced kind of on an average. And it sounds like with the budget reductions or the global cuts and stuff, we kind of have made that down to where that's consistent with what their expenditures currently are. Is that fair, Matt?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson, I think the $450,000 is still slightly higher than the average. I think the request from the superintendent to move up from the – let me go to page 141 to kind of illustrate this. Their standard budget of $242,156, then they're requesting an additional $250,000. That's been reduced by that superintendent's letter that Representative Summers moved and the committee approved. That's about average of where they've expended in previous years. It's probably a little bit lower, about $300,000. They spent $300,000 in the 7-8 biennium, $321,000 in the 2009-10, $443,000 in 11-12, $656,000 in 13-14, and $240,000 in 15-16. So it's fluctuated.
So currently, where are we right now?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the motion.
No, before the motion. Where did we leave it?
Mr. Chairman, this unit has an appropriation from the School Foundation Program of $672,034.
And the motion is to do what?
I believe the motion is to reduce that by $223,034.
To $450,000. Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I think, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you look at that 626 line, the grant payments, that's the line that Matt was tracking. And that's the line that after the superintendent's letter is paired, comes back and pairs back to what we have been providing and what we've been utilizing, more or less. So any further cut's going to be a pretty big whack on that program. Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion?
So what foundation dollars are we putting in? What have we added just on the foundation side? That's the 675, 672? No, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, you are currently sitting at $672,034 in school foundation program funding. That is an increase of $173,844 over last biennium. I believe the motion on the table is a reduction of $222,034. I misspoke last time, $222,034, bringing the total to $450,000.
All right.
Okay, now I understand.
Any other discussion?
I support the motion.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. It passes. Anything else? Senator Lamb.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to take the committee to page 69 and make a motion that we return some funding to the Teacher of the Year program. You'll recall that we did not approve the governor's rec on this. And just a couple of thoughts. I think this has been a program that's worthy of at least keeping alive. And as it stands today, based on the last 3 years, we've cut this program 87%. Only about 13,000 remains in that. If we were to accept the governor's recommendation, that would return $39,000 for the biennium and allow the department to continue to recognize these teachers who have, in cohorts, subsequently gone on to do some pretty important work for the department, including this past year. That 2016 cohort was utilized in the implementation and formulation under the new ESSA law, the new federal guidelines that came down for education. This group was very helpful on that front. You know, I just think it's worthy of maybe a reconsideration on our part. So that's my motion.
Is there a second? There's a second. Okay. Any other discussion? Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Anything else?
Move to close.
Mr. Chairman,
second.
Real quick. In unit 1203, when Representative Walters made the motion to reduce the full-time equivalent position, we didn't get a dollar amount with that. Do you have any idea of the positions in that unit or what you'd like to do there? I know you said just make sure it's not the one that serves the board, which is the AWAC position. So I think it would be a full-time equivalent. We just don't know a dollar amount.
I didn't have a dollar amount, just a position. Is that acceptable if you want a dollar amount?
Mr. Chairman, we will pursue that. Thank you.
So what are we going to do?
The position authorization is gone, but funding is left in.
remove the funding. Well, I don't think that's what you meant.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would like the funding to go with that position, be reduced with that position.
So,
second.
So, do we, in order to do that, can we not identify, do we need to identify a specific position, but then also to give it a leeway to within the, that particular division? I think they have 5 or 6 employees. So I would just suggest you take the lowest full-time paying one on dollar amounts. And then if that position is full, then they can rearrange.
Give is that the committee's direction? We will.
Is that okay?
It's fine to leave. It's fine to leave.
Okay. Move anything else in the Department of Education?
Move to close.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Department of Education is closed. And we have one more group. From 220 to 270, Environmental Quality Council, State Construction Department, Capital Construction, Veterinary Medicine, Board of Acupuncture, and Administrative Hearings. Would anybody like to open any of these agencies? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to open State Construction Department, Capital Construction.
That is Division 227.
Mr. Chairman, those are requests are included in your Capital Construction booklet. There isn't an actual 227 book. So that's at the very front of your first drawer, the Capital Construction book.
Okay. What page?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a page identified. These are footnotes for this agency.
Okay.
At your leisure, sir, or if you're ready, I'd proceed.
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to start out by offering an amendment to allow State Construction Department, and it might be in consultation with ANI, to take over the leasing of the space for the Unemployment Insurance Division in Casper. Currently, the Downtown Development Authority in Casper pays this lease on behalf of the Unemployment Insurance Division, and so I would like them to take that over with a dollar value not to exceed $400,000 for doing this project. I will explain further if I
receive a second.
It's moved and seconded. Explanation.
So our Downtown Development Authority in my hometown took over a lease to move this division out of a building so they could work on a community improvement project in the downtown area. And they did that under the understanding that the state would have a new state office building constructed within a shorter time frame than has occurred. And so because that has taken longer due to funding constraints, it's changed the complexity of this. And so I think we can do this. And I would, with that motion, I would also add that I think the unemployment division or at request that the unemployment division pay for this out of their funds. And I have worked with staff, and they understand what I'm up to for the appropriate language.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So are you saying that that would come out of the unemployment insurance funds?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is correct.
Representative Larson.
Then a question, I guess, if I may, back to Department of Construction. Is having those funds come out of that insurance fund kind of a standard procedure, much like we do with workers' compensation, where all expenses associated with that program is attributed to the fund?
Mr. Chairman, can I answer that for them? That is correct, Representative Larson.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer us another footnote. With the anticipation of a state office building moving forward in Casper, I would like to require that with that there be an oversight committee similar to what was created for the State Health Facilities Oversight Committee.
Second. So, yeah, and just for discussion, the which oversight committee, the one for state health facilities? And so just remind us, Don, that we just want to make sure that it's not too big and too small. And what needs to be just right. So what would that committee consist of and how would it be funded?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think it would kind of depend on where the project is at in its current, because if we've gone through the level one, level two, and we're at level three ready for construction, then we would probably want to have a group somewhat similar to what we have with the working group, have it become an executive group with majority of the participants being from the executive branch with some legislative oversight. So maybe the representative or somebody can kind of tell us where we're at. If it's in the preliminary state, then it might become a legislative thing. So
Mr.
just so
Chairman,
we get that figured out.
Senator Dogstad. Mr. Chairman, as follow-up to that, to Representative Larson, that goes back to an initial task force, yeah, onto a subcommittee, onto select committee to study the construction. So what exactly are we asking for here?
So I think, Mr. Chairman, what they're asking for, and I completely support, is if they're at that point that they're going to be ready to start looking at bid documents or construction documents and things like that, that we provide, that we have some oversight from the executive and legislative branch, much like we have done with the health facilities, to ensure that that this thing moves forward in a manner that is appropriate and pleasing to the legislature.
So basically it would consist of two House members and two Senate members, a member of Capital Construction, a member of maybe one or two members from state facilities, because you don't have health in here. It's just a
Whose building is it? It'd
be the state's building, but
is it Workforce Services or what agencies? I guess was
there's a bunch of them in there, but it's
a gob of them.
Mr. Chairman, currently the main occupier will be health, but they're going to try and consolidate all state agencies that are in Casper in leased spaces into that one building. So there'll be multiple agencies in that building.
And Dell, is it, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, Dell, is that, where are we at in that whole process? Are we ready for level three, or is it even down that road?
Mr. Chairman, it's not down that road. There was some level two done, but how the site layout and what from the little bit higher level two that was done, we've moved back on that because of different location in the building and site. So we're really at we're partway through the level two, but we're at a level two.
So next step would be moving into level three, and so it really becomes Chairman Nicholas, I, from our experience in Senator Dogstad, that kind of swear that moves into an executive oversight with some representation from the legislature.
So we'd it'd be one from executive governor's office, one from construction management, probably one more. Frankly, it might be useful to get some building person, either architect or construction guy out of Casper, who would be a community participant, and then two legislators or from each house.
Representative Schwartz.
As a general makeup.
Probably one from each house.
First of all, your mic's off. Secondly, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a thought, we might want to include somebody from ETS, given the nature of our world.
Full committee, we're only majority on the working group.
Anybody else want to discuss this?
I've got concerns myself. That's why we have a construction department. You know, this idea of setting up this whole task force to oversee construction of a building, that's what we hire them for and their expertise. I don't see the point. If you or we were going to hire one person to oversee like we've done recently at the state pen, that might make some sense to me. But having this whole task force of legislators, of how often are they going to come down to see it?
Well, they'll probably all be in Casper for the most part.
maybe not. To me, it's micromanagement.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Co-Chair, that the look and makeup of the state capitol, of the Hersler Building, of Life Resource Center, and of the Wyoming State Hospital has been totally transformed by the creation of these committees. And they do a fundamental, I think an essential job to make sure that the state of Wyoming and the legislature gets what we're paying for. Because this is, and if you look at the back end of this, we've got the issues at the state penitentiary and other buildings around the state where we don't get what we are paid for. And so, and my guess is that that this is every dime we spend on putting this together is we gain threefold. I'm even more so if I was working for the tourism, I'd say 20-fold. So it's absolutely essential, I think, that we do this. And we're talking about the look of the building, the structure of the building, where it's placed, the parking. I mean, everything. You go through the drawings with them.
Okay.
At the end of the day, to get what you want.
All right. Yeah, any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dockstetter.
I just agree with the co-chair there. It was we got a better product on state facilities now on what we're doing with Lander and Evanston as a result of very specific oversight from a select committee involving the co-chair and Representative Larson and others. So it's a good move.
All right.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, we had two buildings that were completed at UW in the past 5 or 6 years, and it didn't have it, and we've got big problems as a result of it. So it's another example.
All right. Representative Senator Landon.
Sorry to belabor. I won't repeat what's been said. I agree with the last two speakers. I just wanted to point out that the legislature has been involved really for the past 5 or 6 years on this project. Dates back to I was the Senate representative, Representative Stubbs, and that was the original task force to begin the effort to look at all of this. And it's come a long ways down the river, but it's always had, all the way through, representation for the legislature, and I would sure support that. I think we need to be involved going forward.
Any other discussion on the motion? Don.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarity, we would use the health facility, should this pass, we will use the health facilities task force as a model. What I'm hearing is two legislators from both sides, three appointees by the governor, one of which shall be from construction management division, one of which shall be a private citizen. Last session, you provided $40,000 general fund appropriation for the health facilities task force. It had six legislators on it.
Maybe three legislators.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Don, I think, and you might visit with Ian a little bit on this, but once it gets to that level three and we start going into the construction, that really becomes the executive oversight responsibility, and they need to have the majority of the committee on voting things. So it, just as a recommendation to kind of visit with him on how that's structured.
So it probably needs to be three and four, three legislators and four other.
Again, Mr. Chairman, we're looking for a clarification. Do you want to appropriate money or no?
Is that part of the motion?
Yeah, essentially you're appropriating for three legislators, and let's assume they're going to meet two or three times, at least three, four times a year for a day or two, and payment per diem for a private citizen who participates from Casper.
Was that a salary in per diem?
No, just per diem. No salaries. The other ones will be state employees. So.
Just rough that out. We can fill in the gaps.
Mr. Chairman, it's about $30,000 under those assumptions.
Representative Walters, you want to make that part of your motion?
So moved, please.
From where?
$30,000 from general funds.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Any other agencies?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer one last footnote in this
Representative
agency. Walton. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to put a footnote in that directs the State Construction Department to work with the City of Casper on a long-term lease for the parking lot on the Goodstein lot, there in Casper to try and create a better product that the state currently owns, and it looks like a black eye for the state.
Wait a minute. You understand the...
Mr. Chairman, I do. I believe the operative parties in this would be the State Building Commission and Department of Administration and Information, not the State Construction Department. But we will make those changes if that's acceptable.
Representative Walters, any further explanation?
If that's where it needs to happen, I would... that's where I'd ask it to happen then.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If the bringer of the motion would consider this a friendly amendment, I would encourage maybe the addition of a negotiation on that building on Midwest Avenue, which is really the hinge point that started this discussion in the first place. That's a building that's quite aging, needs to be vacated, and so maybe in the motion to also include negotiation of future sale, demolition, transfer of that building in conjunction with the effort on that parking lot that the city is interested in.
Mr. Chairman, somebody will explain all of this because none of it's clear to me right now.
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
I can certainly attempt. The Midwest building is currently occupied by most of the state employees that would move into a new facility, probably at least half of the 394 state employees. Half of those are located in the old Midwest building. That's a building that we determined quite some time back was not worth the renovation. It was built in about 1960. Something has to be done with it. It belongs to the state. And as we vacate, I just wanted that to be part of the negotiation. City's interested in some of that state property in the downtown part of Casper. That's the property that Representative Walters alluded to, that there needs to be some negotiation on some leasing if they want to develop that into some parking. Great. I just wanted to include some discussion about what do we do with that Midwest building. Do we tear it down? Is there somebody that might be interested in buying it, sale, lease, transfer? So I just wanted that to be part of that negotiation.
So my understanding is that in the bid package or the level two kind of design, it was forecasted that they would sell that building and make about $2 million on it. I don't think that's going to happen, but I believe it's the plan of the state to sell the building if we can get a price for it. Dell, is that your understanding?
Yes,
Chairman, that's fine. So I think that's all kind of in the works anyway, is it not?
It has certainly been discussed. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that we carry through and do what's necessary to dispose of that old building because it does belong to us. And it was the thought of that task force that we probably ought to make sure that we formalize and make sure that there might be some options come forward on some leasing or whatever.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if we could go back then to the original motion and picking up with Representative Summers' question, because I only go to Casper about twice a year or something. Is the situation that we're building a new building and it hasn't got any parking, or could you just flesh that out a little bit?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I was hoping to get this opportunity. In the original, task force, there was some property acquired by the state in downtown Casper to locate a new state office building, consolidate all of these various agencies in this single building. As the project proceeded, it was decided to move that location slightly, purchase some other property in that general vicinity, but it leaves this open lot that the state currently owns. Currently, many folks within Casper use this lot to park downtown, but it's just a big open lot. There's lots of rebar sticking out. The state really has some significant liability. In exchange, the city of Casper would really like to have that area to utilize as parking for their downtown businesses. And so the hope would be that between the two entities, there could be a product put forward in which the city of Casper could do all the improvements, take care of the safety issues that are there currently. The state would still own the property, because at some point the state may want that property, but the city would then be required to put the financial inputs into it to make that a safer, more attractive property for downtown Casper. And really it's a win-win for both, and this footnote would just really spur those negotiations along, I think.
You got green space on that thing if they do?
Sure. Any further discussion, as if that were possible?
Question.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, I have a proposed footnote for this section.
Has to do with downtown Rock Springs?
No, sir, it does not.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, in light of the discussions we've been having on concerns for the federally funded buildings that require state maintenance, the footnote would just read, on any federally funded facility that requires any percentage of state maintenance, once completed, the state construction division in collaboration with the military department will ensure that best practices for energy efficiency are achieved in the design process. And Mr. Chairman, I did talk with the construction division and the military.
Is there a second? Oh, okay. So any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstad.
Senator, so we're going back. We're going to have to go back and rethink things, or this is from here on out. What kind of expenses involved? What are we doing here?
Mr. Chairman, there didn't seem like any expense. When I talked to the director, it was a simple. It was felt first of all that federal and state construction designs were going to be awfully similar, but that. That this is to ensure that the state isn't going to pay for something that doesn't have adequate energy efficiencies going into the future. And he indicated that there wouldn't really be an expense involved in this.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, it sounds to me like we're directing this towards the military, but the beginning of the paragraph talked about any federal dollars for any building. So that's what I'm curious about.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I thought about that, and certainly it could be worded that on any federally funded, and I wasn't, and I'll stop there for a second and say I wasn't sure that any other agencies had fully funded federal facilities, and so that, and it could just simply say on any federally funded facilities that require any percent of state maintenance, once completed, the state construction division in collaboration with any agency would ensure best practices, yada, yada.
So does that include game and fish buildings?
Mr. Chairman, if that stated that way, it would.
So my point is that if we're specifically addressing military buildings that are 100% funded, then the motion not to say that. Otherwise, this is going to be a catch-all that we may not. There might be things that fall in this that we don't want to fall into. Does that make sense?
Yes. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question would be, why wouldn't we want all buildings to be considered to be more energy efficient?
Well, and that's the other point. My question with it is once you consider it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means that you'll think about it. So.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Passes.
Good job.
Any other agencies
Don,
in this list?
Is there anything on our list that we haven't brought up yet that needs to be here?
Mr. Chairman, just to remind the committee, because these are statutory changes, it's in the state capital construction bill that we're discussing, not the budget bill, which gives a little bit of a distinction. The only two or three I have on my list are for contingency funds for other facilities. For example, state health facilities. You can either address that now or when you address the SIPA funding.
That's going to be in SIPA. Next one.
Mr. Chairman, that's all. Well, they all fall into that same category. Contingency funding for future construction.
Okay.
So when what do you mean by statutory? You mean require statutory change?
No, what I mean, for example, some people may be wondering, well, why is that provision that we just adopted or that the committee just adopted? That actually will become a statute. We will go into the green books and make that a requirement of State Construction Department to review federally funded facilities. For the past hour and a half, we've been talking about capital facilities. This is not the budget bill, so there are different parameters around this. These are not footnotes. These are either codified or uncodified sections of statute.
So let's go back to the motion we just passed then. I mean, right now, the military doesn't show us the designs before they're done. We don't look at them. So how can we have a collaboration on those buildings when we never see them?
Mr. Chairman, those facilities do require the approval of SBC, and they are involved.
Okay. I mean, I guess SBC sees them, but the legislature never sees them.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
A question then to Don. Have we, in the past few bienniums, had any footnotes in this section for any of those projects, such as how funds should be expended?
Mr. Chairman, yes. For example, in the 2016 bill, you created the Health Facilities Task Force in that bill. You will be doing something similar, not in codified law, but in a uncodified section at the end of the. You have also provided for specifications and limitations on appropriations, whether it be for LCCC Luden Library had specifications. You have some of that in your motions today. You have limitations on the expenditure of funds or directions as to the expenditure of funds. And Mr. Chairman, you've also changed statute in 2016. You added the creation of funds, for example.
So would it be appropriate now, or should it wait to perhaps say that the $20 million that had been set aside for in SIPA for the use in the capital renovation account be changed to be used for cost expectations at the state health facilities or I'm just thinking, is that the appropriate place to do that, or is that something that we would do because we're trying to designate where we would be? Those funds have been specified.
Yeah, but that's in SIPA, not in the capital, in CAPCON. Right? Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, historically, the SIPA, well, at least in the last biennium, the SIPA section does appear in capital construction.
Okay.
So, anything else in Capcom?
Anyone else, anything else from any of these agencies? Did we have to close Capcom, or because we never really opened it?
No, Mr. Chairman. And in my mind, just for the way I look at it, you have one group of activities outstanding to address. You've addressed all of the agencies. You've addressed the primary capital construction. You still have Section 300s, and of those, some include school facilities, still right. Schools capital construction. It involves a number of transfers, budget balancers, retiree health care,
right.
a range of items. One of the outstanding items is also SIPA. Generally speaking, you could put that in, and it most appropriately, in my mind, fits in the capital construction bill, because most of those projects that are being considered, not all, but most of them, are capital construction in nature. Okay, so
stand correct.
Yeah, that one is kind of has a leg in both camps, if you will.
Okay, and a lot of this, we're going to need some tallies. Why don't we take a lunch break? We'll come back at 1 o'clock, and we'll do the Section 300s, the budget balancers.
That work for you, Don?
Is that enough time?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.